Welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. I am your host, Jonathan Lindemann, and with me I have Greg Leahy.
Hello.
James Jones.
Hello.
And the one and the only TYP Michael Cole.
Save it for the show!
Oh. You're not supposed to troll yourself. Jeez.
You're trying to make you feel guilty, James.
It's my catchphrase.
It wasn't me.
Thank you. We now have Krusty the Clown on
staff. We've had that for a long time.
All right. Of course, once again, Jonathan Metz is out for the week. I don't know. I think he's... His jet set lifestyle is really starting to take a toll on this podcast.
Yeah, really. I think it's going to be every other week now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's like out in San Fran or something. He's doing something really, something West Coast.
I hope he's keeping up the travel miles.
I think he is.
Is he going to get solar membership like me? Solar membership?
I don't know. Is he going to drop by and see you, TYP? Or is
Dude,
he,
he's in San, he's he's in San Francisco. I'm like in south of L.A. He'll be dropping by in a couple of weeks.
LA,
I mean, he's going to E3, and so you know, he'll be in the area then.
Cool.
So, yeah, be planning for that, too, because he'll be gone that week, too, remember?
Yeah, but we do have plans for that week, don't we, that we can't talk about yet?
I don't know, do we?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean...
Oh, okay, nobody knows.
I don't know.
Nobody going
man,
knows. Nobody on the home team knows.
I have no idea, man. I just come here on the...
No, we don't have plans yet.
Man, I just hop on the podcast and turn my brain off. That's all I do.
It shows.
I know. The forums are going to love that. They're going to be all over me for that one.
Oh.
All right. Okay, well, first up, we got some new business, and we're going to start off. We're going to start off with Greg.
Yes.
What's your new business?
Well, not so new. I'm still playing Okami. Loving it.
Very
still.
Nice.
Getting
Very nice.
A bit deeper into the game. It's holding my interest very well indeed. As a sort of Zelda type game, it hasn't necessarily got kind of the rigorous kind of self-contained dungeon kind of gameplay of something like Twilight Princess, which tend to be my favourite parts of Zelda games. But I'm enjoying it very, very much even so, just because it feels a little more kind of, you know, it's not as predictable as a Zelda game, which is not to say a great deal, because they have become rather predictable most of the time because of the quite slavish sort of adherence to the structure. The kind of, you know, the two-sided, like you're up to when you get the Master Sword and then what happens after we get the Master Sword and all that. So
the three hits to kill every boss.
That did not happen with Majora's Mask.
That's more of a, like a pan-Nintendo phenomenon, the three hits to kill a boss.
Yeah.
It happens quite a lot in Mario and all sorts of things. That element of Okami is lovely in the sense that it does have these similarities with Zelda, but it's a lot more kind of... You're not sure what's going to happen, and it's just the story and some of the stuff in it is out there. It's very odd indeed. I certainly don't ever expect to find the word stacked used in the context that it was in Okami, used in Zelda or any other Nintendo game anytime soon. But all of that kind of adds to the charm, and with the art style and the gameplay is proving quite well. It's a pretty enchanting experience, so I look forward to finishing that off. At some point, but I also got Boom Blocks, which I haven't played a great deal of yet, which it's kind of a nice compliment to Okami, not just because it's different, but it ensures that when my arm wears out, I can play something else, because it is actually quite fatiguing. It really is. If you're playing the bits that actually require you to throw something at a pretty decent velocity, that could a definite tendonitis potential with that one. But
yeah,
the game itself. Gone.
Well, how much of the multiplayer have you done? I'm just curious.
I haven't really, because I've barely played the single player, and I haven't had the chance to play the multiplayer yet. So I've just scratched the surface of it, really, because the multiplayer may well prove to be the real lasting appeal of that game. Because by all accounts, it's got this very universal appeal. So hopefully, I'll be able to entice people to give it a go. And I can see it from my own experience so far. In terms of it just has that kind of, you know, even though you've got the set levels the set challenges, there's always that element of just sort of very personal experimentation with it, because it's all relying on quite rigorous physics. It's just like, well, let's see if I can do this, and even if it's not necessarily completely necessary, or it just could help with defeating the particular challenge that you're undergoing at that time. It's just nice to try things out and watch the physics work and the crazy results that ensue. And I think the way it uses the Wii Remote is pretty suitable in that, first of all, you're using the pointer functionality to aim, and then you're using the accelerometer functionality to pick up the sort of nuance of how quickly you're throwing the ball, hence why you might get fatigued from beaming it all the time. And it's that tactile element is wonderful. So far, the puzzle design looks pretty solid, although I haven't really gotten into the advanced stages yet. And it's got that kind of, you know, that sort of quality, something like Mario versus Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong 94, if you want to take it back with specifically Mario versus Donkey Kong, because it's got the sort of bronze, silver, gold levels of sort of achievement. So it rewards you for doing it quicker and more efficiently, and that has another level of puzzle solving to it as well. So Boom Blocks is really cool, and my third party library suddenly exploded in the last few months because I got Zack and Wiki. And I got Pro Evo, and then Akami and Boombox in a relatively short period of time. So it's gone from virtually just Geometry Wars to that in a pretty brief period.
So now that Euro 2008 is over, are you still playing Pro Evo?
I'll still be playing Pro Evo. That's really good. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I actually would like Euro 2008 kind of ate into the time to play Pro Evo quite a lot. Well, I was very pleased with the result. I should say congratulations to Spain, who won, and were quite clearly the better team and deserved to win the tournament, which unfortunately meritocratic outcomes are not that often found in football, unfortunately, but... on this occasion, it was, so I should congratulate them. And no, I'd love to get back to a bit more Pro Evo. Also, today, got into a bit more Smash Brothers Online, because a friend of mine got his PAL copy, because it came out on Friday. And we actually had some passable games online, but perhaps more importantly, we got the Skype hookup, so we could actually chat to each other while playing. And it really adds a lot. I mean, it just shows to me what a shame the fact that it doesn't have voice chat functionality in it really
honestly,
is.
I think that the fact it doesn't have voice chat is for the better. Because think of what it would do to the already laggy games.
Well, I mean, there's that. But obviously, we are living in some sort of Camelot-like world where the netcode works and it flows well and there's voice chat and, you know, sort of wonderful meadows of pink blossoms and all the rest of it, but even with the thing about the voice chat that I found, not voice chat but just Skype, you know, at the same time, was that really added to it was the fact that when it was being laggy or being stupid, you could just laugh at it with your friend. You could just have the comedy of like, wow, this is really rubbish, isn't it? One thing we had a particular laugh at is with friend games. What happens is that sometimes you can seem to put in a CPU opponent, and sometimes you can't. Like to fit, you know, if there's just two of you and you want to fill it out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it will say CPU opponent available, and then other times
available.
It yeah, no.
So yeah, it usually really says that to remind you that you can do it.
Yeah, but this
like,
does
like he's
when it
like the computer finished what he was busy with.
Well,
like yeah,
well,
I'm
this
done
is
now.
The point. When it does not say that, you can't do it. You can't add one in, or at least we couldn't today. And I don't know whether that was. I can only assume is related to some sort of connection concern that somehow, if your connection at that particular time isn't very good, that it doesn't want to burden it anymore, because let's face it, it is struggling as it is. I can only assume... Yeah.
Come on, Greg.
CPU available? I mean, really? I mean, what else has it got to do? It lives to serve this. I mean,
please, it's trying its hardest to find other friends that it hasn't gotten matched up with yet. I mean, it has a whole list of people that it still hasn't discovered.
I remember when back when the dojo was going and we had the sort of revelation that in random matches, I think, that, you know, if people dropped out, that they would be substituted for with CPU characters. And what you didn't know is there's a very finite amount of those people. And unfortunately, all these unscrupulous people that drop out force the CPUs to go and fill in there, and then they can't fill in for your friend matches. So think of that next time when you're trying to cynically avoid defeat by dropping out.
So if your idealized Smash Brothers with voice chat is some sort of Camelot, I assume the real thing is some sort of like the Castled Abbey of Prince Prospero.
it's not great, but like I said, having the...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
it really isn't that great. I mean, but it's still it's. I mean, the to put it in perspective in terms of some of the things we've said on the show before. Even though I was playing with someone geographically very close, especially in American terms, the gameplay was probably marginally better than what I could experience playing Johnny in Colorado. So there was no miraculous improvement with distance, which obviously I wasn't really expecting anyway. But it was playable, as it was against Johnny in Colorado, one-on-one. And then, like I said, if you've got that chat, you can just, you know, again, as I've said kind of about the game itself, it's far more you can get into just the humour of it, just having a laugh with it, you know, rather than... Because, I mean, when you have got that kind of lag, it's not going to be some mega competitive game, but you can... indulge in the sort of the zaniness of Smash Brothers quite well. So, and obviously the real problem is a lot of people haven't got their home cinema or whatever set up so they can have Skype conveniently available to them at the same time as playing Smash Brothers. So that's why it would have been so valuable to have it built into the game, and it isn't. And this has just brought that truth.
Well, the one good thing about using Skype is the fact that even when it lags, you can still talk. You know, it's not completely cutting out your voice chat. You know,
I don't know
so
about that. And I
the
think
fact
you just
can sit back and laugh at it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that is Skype, a dangerous. Skype is, that is a dangerous thing to say.
Skype and Smash Brothers Online have some sort of kindred spirit thing going on.
I mean, in Skype, they should have like some Nintendo ads in it, like, you know, use our product with Smash Brothers. You know, I mean, I just wish that I could predict when that game would be crappy online. You know, that's the whole thing that bothers me about it is the fact that I can't predict what that game is going to do. It's like,
John,
it's like,
I can predict.
Go.
You can
take a coin.
You'll
take a coin. No, wait. Take a coin. Flip it. If it lands on a side, it'll be crappy.
Yeah, okay, your experience it's like has been universally terrible, as I understand it. Whereas mine has been sort of curiously uneven, the obvious indicators, like, you know, sort of how many people are involved, the distance involved and all that, you can't really draw that kind of obvious correlations between those. It just seems actually quite random. Like, so more of just the which side of the coin it falls on kind of scenario.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I play online with 360, I play online with PS3, and I never have any problems with anything. That's the only game that I ever have lag problems with. So,
I honestly think the Wii's netcode and net hardware is held together by, like, rubber bands and tape.
But that's the thing. I don't have that problem with Mario Kart Wii, though.
Yeah, well,
I don't really have any lag problems.
But I think it's sad in that perhaps the voice chat could have papered over some of these problems if they could have found a way to do it. You know, that they actually would have... Because it is extremely painful watching a game crawl by in silence. Yeah. I mean,
I know, it's like that, it's like in space, no one can hear you
scream.
Yeah,
there's a funereal aspect to it, you know. And I just think it would be, if you had the ability to communicate. And also, I mean, with Smash Brothers, it's always, because if you're hosting a game, you have control of the options. And it'd be nice to be able to communicate, say, do you want to play this kind of match now? Do you want to play this kind of stage? All those sorts of things. So, I mean, if you're playing a team, you might want to communicate for those reasons. There's just so many reasons why it would have been a huge benefit. But one can only suppose that it was quite simply beyond their abilities as well as beyond their discretion to do this.
I don't know, man. I mean, they can do it on the DS, so I don't see why they can't do it on the Wii.
Oh, no, well, that's why I said that beyond their abilities in terms of Smash Bros., if the game's running that badly, they didn't even want to get into adding anything else into it.
All right, guys. Have you been playing anything else?
No, that's been pretty much the extent of my experience this week.
That's it. All right. Next up, we got James. James, what you playing?
Oh, well, I have my first review copy in about a month and a half in. And following on the high note of Speed Racer for the DS, I've moved on to another movie licenses,
sweet,
with Disney Friends. This game was actually described by the PR person in the letter that it came with as being somewhat like Nintendogs with Disney characters. Mm-hmm. And in that respect, he is absolutely correct, because this game is Nintendog with Disney characters.
Like, so you construct your own really Disney character?
If you really like Disney, you will like this game.
I have a Disney annual pass.
Yeah.
No.
TYP, this one might be for you.
I don't think so.
Do you like Nintendogs?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then you will not... Well, in this game's defense, it's much less needy than Nintendogs. It's not like constantly going, deciding that needs to be fed, and then running away if you decide to be a standard teenager and taking care of their pets. Mm-hmm. And I have to assume, because I'm not really a fan of any of these franchises, that the characters do match their character in the movie, because they do seem to use voice acting. There does seem to be events that you can do with these characters inspired by their personalities. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that apparently Winnie the Pooh is a jerk.
Wait. So how is this game played? Are you some like omnipotent god that goes around like petting girls' hair or something? I mean, in Nintendogs, you're
petting Pooh's hair.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, how do you play this game?
The game actually starts with you being dragged by Tinkerbell to be a guardian friend to a character from the Disney universe.
Okay, and then you choose a character,
no,
right?
No, you actually start out with one character, and as you progress through its friendship, you unlock an additional character. And as you build up friend points and increase your friend ranking, mm-hmm. I'm not kidding, you unlock more. And there's four to unlock, and then there's like a practice friend you get at the beginning, but you really can't do much with it. So there's five in total. No people, so there's no chance for perversion unless you really enjoy fish. Because one of the characters is a fish.
Oh, I see. Okay, so these aren't like the princesses or anything. These are like...
No, these are like the animal characters.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes a little more
sense.
Yeah,
like all the...
run through the list.
Mascots, though, yeah.
Most prominently featured is the Stitch character from Lilo and Stitch, which is certainly has the most personality of any of the four.
I could see the popularity of this game. Okay. Yeah,
they're
definitely
Simba
people,
from The Lion King is one of them.
Yeah.
As a child,
so what kind of like activities do you do in it? Is it the same thing as Nintendogs, where like you is there something equivalent to like taking your dog for a walk or something?
Kind of. Each character has three locations based on their franchise that you can visit, and you have to unlock them through interactions with that specific character. Mm-hmm. And then there are events to do with that. Usually, there's one challenge that you can do for another character from the franchise. Like, usually it's something pretty simple. Like, help me find... in the case of the Lilo and Stitch character, there's a... You have to find all the clothes because he's run around the house and thrown the laundry everywhere. So you mm-hmm. find them, touch them, and drag them back to the wash machine. They're pretty simple, but given the game's target demographic, that's not really a huge deal.
Yeah.
And if you complete all of the challenges, there's usually one per stage, give or take. And there's three stages per character. You get a trophy. But it's not really that much of a reward, to be honest. But it does affect your relationship with the character in question, too. And there are repeatable activities to do in these settings, too. Like mini games.
So is it kind of like Nintendogs, where you... Like, can you see... Because with Nintendogs, I found that, you know, it was kind of fun for a while, but you started doing the same thing over and over again. You kind of reached a ceiling as to how much you could really do with your dog.
Yeah, and I think the ceiling in this game is probably lower. Because the character, it doesn't take very much to get them to like you a whole hell of a lot. I mean, you can earn money, bells I think is the currency, but it's not almost sadistically given out like Animal Crossing. there's no mafioso like figure looking to collect them. But you can trade them in for, like, toys and things to interact with them. But really, the toys, they only interact with them for about 10 seconds, and they drop them on the ground and, like, walk mm-hmm. away. It's sort of lacking in that respect. But
so
you can do other
Is it as leveraged on voice recognition as Nintendogs? Because that was a lot of the game, was actually getting
work. There is a list of voice commands that they recognize. And there is fully recorded responses to these voice recognitions. In some cases, the response is things like "Not now, I'm busy," to which you are supposed to scold them. I usually praise them for it.
Oh, that guy gives new character.
But there's only recognized phrases, and the game does a pretty decent job of recognizing them. But if for whatever reason it's not, you can open up a menu and select the one you want. If it's just not recognizing you, or if you're in a public place and don't want to be heard asking Dory about whales.
Well, come on, you don't?
No, I don't.
This raises the question, James. Do you think this could be better than Hey You Pikachu? I mean,
I'm almost certain it's going to be better than Hey You Pikachu, because this is the first game that I've actually had a number in my head for what I'm going to give it before I've written the review. Because for whatever reason, as I'm playing this game, it just keeps screaming 7 at me. Which,
of nine?
I suppose, is not... Well, 7's not bad.
That's not bad, man.
My average review score, which is probably around a 4.
So you're saying this absolutely kills Miami Knights.
Oh, it destroys Miami Knights, and you don't get herpes.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it actually is a pretty good game for its target audience. I mean, it seems to capture the Disney franchises pretty well, and you know, it's approachable, and it sounds like the voice recognition doesn't, like, piss you off or anything. So
no, and there's a fair amount of activities to do with each character. You know, you can compose a song for them to sing. You can draw, and you take turns like coloring in, and then they'll color in, and you color in, and it alternates back and forth. And some of them are more, you know, sadistic in their coloring patterns than others. Each character has a unique activity you can do with them. I haven't really explored that venue very much. And the game supposedly features Nintendo Wi-Fi connection.
I was going to ask about, so there are friend codes as well as friend... ratings and friend...
There are probably points. Friend codes. Friend codes for your game called Friends. Yes. There probably are friend codes, but I haven't really explored the Wi-Fi connection too much because I tried to connect to a random match just to see what they were. And I think I may have actually gotten the game prior to its release or something because there was nobody online. I let it sit there for a long time and nothing connected. So it could just be that there's just nobody on yet. But,
or maybe the audience is just too young to even really know what to do with that.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
you know.
Well, this way, even if I never connect to a game, it's still better online enabled than Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
So this is a better Pokemon game than Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Even though it doesn't feature Pokemon, yes.
You wonder whether they'll ever take another swing at AU Pikachu and do sort of Pikachu or, well, Pokemon Nintendogs and have multiple Pokemon that you can pet or whatever.
At
that point, I want the real time like command Pokemon to attack other Pokemon.
Yes. Bark out commands.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading the back of the box right now, and somehow this never caught my attention because it's in tiny, tiny text, but it should have already. It says, quote, "Basic reading ability is needed to enjoy this game."
Ability is also required to actually understand that disclaimer.
Yeah, it is, actually.
The conundrum wrapped inside a dilemma.
But see, I think that summarizes what the game is targeted to. And in that respect, it does a pretty good job. And, I mean, one of the most impressive things about the game is that it's a fully 3D world, and the characters are good representations of what they're trying to represent, even in the more complex CG characters from Pixar movies. Winnie the Pooh's not especially hard to represent, but something like character like Stitch, who's apparently a pretty animated character, it looks pretty good. So, I mean, the game is a competently put together piece of Tamagotchi-style Disney franchise.
Cool.
And in that respect, it's pretty decent.
All right. Anything else, James?
No, that's been dominating all my time.
As well it should.
Yes.
My new business is going to be pretty brief. I've been out of town for about the last 4 days. But the last thing I really did on the Wii was I grabbed Alex Kidd in Miracle World, which for the Virtual Console.
Not Magician Lord,
no. Actually, I'm going to get that. I'm going to give you my in-depth thoughts on that. But you know what? I think that's actually a good segue because this kind of – I have a feeling that'll fall into the category – that Alex Kidd does, where it's a game that I kind of look back on it, I have, like, you know, a nice and warm fuzzy, you know, but then you actually get it and you play it and you realize it really sucks. Because Alex Kidd is like, it's a very poor Mario ripoff. And, you know, just for some history, this was like the flagship game for Sega's first console. This was their equivalent of, you know, Super Mario. And it's just really weird, because I don't know why they would have picked this for a flagship title, because it's really quirky and Japanesey. Like the character Alex Kidd is like this kind of monkey-ish character with really big ears, but when you complete, you know, a world, there's a picture of him sitting there eating a rice patty.
What?
The bosses that you fight are like these rock paper guys that their heads are like, you know, like, you know, like a paper is like a fist. The guy's head will be a fist, and so when you fight him at the end, you don't actually have a boss battle. You sit there and rock paper him. It's really weird.
Ew.
And also the controls are very, it's very picky. Like it's very, especially like some of the swimming levels. Some of the swimming levels are a real pain in the butt, because there's currents that lift you up towards the top of the water, obviously. But it's very picky as to, you know, colliding with enemies and stuff like that.
Are there electrified
kelp? It's a very
kelp?
Difficult game.
Is there electrified kelp?
I don't think there's electrified kelp. I don't think so.
Yeah, and it's not as bad as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably something worse. But it definitely is one of those games where I'm just like, wow, you know, this really isn't as good as I remembered it, you know. So that's pretty much all I got. TYP, what you got?
Well, before I talk about what I've been playing, I'd like to talk about what I have not been playing. Now, most of you probably already own Mario Kart Wii, and most of our listeners probably also already own Mario Kart Wii, but I do not. As I explained,
me either.
Okay, well, as I explained when this came up on Radio Trivia, I just didn't feel like playing it right away. You know, I already own 5 copies, but and I've been playing at friends' house. I'm like, yeah, you know, I kind of want it, but I'm not sure when this happened, but I cannot find a copy anywhere. A month ago, I saw copies lying around in Costco for $2 lower than MSRP. And now I cannot find any online or in stores. In fact, if you go to Amazon.com, you'll see that like the new and used is starting at like $62.
Good God.
What? This is
interesting.
What happened? This is interesting.
That's crazy.
A friend of mine who didn't pick it up when it came out in Europe, which was a couple of weeks before it came out in America, sort of wanted to come around to it about a month after it came out here, and he's had a great deal of difficulty getting a copy. It's a very similar experience for him. Even though it's in a different region. And I don't know whether some of it is just, have you seen how ridiculously well it continues to sell in Japan? I mean, are they just hoarding the units there because the demand is so high? Because it just,
maybe.
It's in the top 5 every week, almost.
See, my theory was that they were saving them all for Europe because they can get the most money for them. But,
well, apparently not. That's what's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that would be understandable. But no, it has, I think it's, it seems to be performing more robustly on the continent within Europe rather than in the UK.
Okay.
But so, yeah, in the UK, it hasn't been easy to get hold of either.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and the cheapest I see it new is $63.88.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, I had a chance to buy it at freaking Costco. I'm like, nah, I don't want it. I don't need to get it yet. Yeah.
Now, what do you think this is? Do you think this is just everybody has a Wii? And they just kind of hear that Mario Kart Wii is the game to have, so they just go out and buy it sight unseen.
But it's not the game to have.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know.
I mean, it has a lot of good casual appeal. I think what it is new Wiis came out with Wii Fit, and they wanted to buy more than just Wii Fit. And like, well, I like Mario Kart. So Mario Kart was available for the first month or whatever, not too hard to find, and then more Wii Fit came out, and more Wiis came out, and they gobbled up the rest of the supply, and now Nintendo, whatever, needs to make another batch of them. Now, the guy at Best Buy, I asked, like, what's going on here? And he says, we get, like, 10 or 15 copies a week, so just swing by it, but they're always sold out within a day. So
that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I kind of feel bad about not picking up a game. It kind of encourages me to have my own wall of shame, which in fact, I have been building up, because Mario Kart Wii isn't the only game I have not been playing. Because I could not find Mario Kart Wii when I went to EB Games a couple of weeks ago, I wound up picking up the box set of Devil May Cry, and totally haven't touched that at all. But because, as you may remember, I tested out Zelda The Wind Waker when I got my new HDTV, And it's kind of a good follow on to Greg's whole Okami thing. Okami thing. I've been playing Wind Waker, and I'm enjoying it, but I forgot how really annoying it is at times. I mean, it's a really annoying game at times. And, I mean, everyone remembers, like, the Triforce hunt at the end, which I haven't gotten to yet in this copy, but this save file, I should say. But the first dungeon where you're, like, sneaking around in, like, the Forsaken Fortress or whatever it is, and you don't have your sword, that's really freaking annoying.
Is there anybody who wishes to avoid waking up with that comment?
I'm not waking right now. Sorry, man.
You're right. Every time I pull that game back out, which is usually about once a year, and I get to that point, and it's pretty early, I remember how much I hated it.
Right. And
I'm like...
I mean, I've never generally... The opening portions to some of the more recent Zelda games have not been my favourite bits, and that would be one of them. I think probably Majora's Mask would be the last time I really enjoyed the opening of a Zelda game.
Yeah, that was a really weird opening. I mean, that was really set the tone for the entire game.
Yeah.
You are a Deku scrub.
Oh, okay.
Bang. Start playing.
Right. So, also, it doesn't help that it seems like Wind Waker kind of did a lot of the stuff that was already done in Majora's Mask, just less interestingly. Mm-hmm. I mean the sailing's all fun and everything, but like I'm at this point now where we're doing the two sage temples and you have the guys that fly. It's kind of like, well, you could kind of fly as a Deku scrub with like the floating flower thingy, and they had the things that shoot you up in the air, and I don't know, it just seems like it isn't all that different from what was on the N64.
No, I mean, Wind Waker is interesting for me. There's things about it I absolutely love, and love probably better than most other Zelda games, if not all. And then it's probably got some of the most irksome parts of any Zelda game, any of the mainstream console Zeldas. So the overall package I really tremendously enjoyed, but it probably got the most notable speed bumps, if you will, of anything.
Sailing is just I remember when
I was replaying it recently, I just literally just set the controller down and you've started looking at the laptop for quite a while. I mean,
make a ham sandwich.
It really is absolutely not a good thing at all. Like, if you can do that, it's, and I'm not being facetious, this is completely serious. I did that and it's not good that could happen.
Yeah, I can't believe they actually allowed that in like the game design.
I mean,
design.
It's a good job.
Really, that amazes me looking back.
It's a good job the sailing music is as entertaining to me as I find it.
It's like lulls you to sleep as you're sailing.
It's a good job I like that as much as I do, because otherwise I might have been rather tempted to actually leave the room in addition to putting the controller down.
Right. Well, I mean, it's more than just the sailing, too. I mean, it seems like I really forgot about this, but some of the side quests are just really... I don't know, obtuse, or I don't know what the right word is, but like I would not figure it out if I didn't have like a guide. Like there's this part where, you know, if you want to get the camera, the color camera, you have to like take pictures of people in town, and it's like do. It's like, how are you going to figure that out without a guide? I mean, seriously, you got to hunt down the one person who whatever flinches when you make a noise, like roll into the wall or whatever, and you got to like wait in front. You got to stalk someone like as they do mail, but you can't like be near them. You have to be like off to the side and know to wait for like 5 freaking minutes to take a picture.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I mean, that was, I had to use a guide to figure that out.
Yeah,
well, there's no way I would have figured that out.
That's a lot like Majora's Mask too. I mean, well, you had to really like stalk some people to get, you know, what you wanted from them.
Yes, but that was
I thought that was out of hand in Majora's Mask. I didn't like that at all.
Well, I did, but I think it's a little different because in Majora's Mask, it's almost like that's part of like the core gameplay, and you know to look out for that stuff.
And also, it's also planned. It's also because the whole place is like a giant clockwork machine because everything happens at the same time over and over again. It's more exploitable, and whereas with that, it felt a bit more aimless.
Right, and they keep tabs. Like once you see an event, it'll often, if it's an important event or whatever, they'll keep track of it in your little calendar book or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was more embedded into the core gameplay. I mean, I think one simple eyeball test for how I didn't really particularly care for the side quests in Wind Waker is the fact that the first save file that I completed and then played a bit after I completed it, I've got the fewest hearts in that of any of the console Zeldas. It just says something about how sort of compelled I was to go back and do everything and all that. I never was quite so much with Wind Waker.
You're right. I've never got all the heart pieces or whatever in Wind Waker, and I didn't realize that until just now. I've never cared enough to do that.
No, I was nowhere near. I mean, with Majora's Mask, I think I was two short. With Ocarina of Time, I was one short. And then with that, I'm like five full heart short or something. It's quite a contrast.
I don't think I've ever even attempted to get all the hearts in a Zelda game. I mean, I know Phantom Hourglass practically heaves them at you.
Yeah, that's different. They don't even have heart pieces in that. It's all handled.
It's just full hearts, and they're like, you like walk through a door and somebody congratulates you for completing the challenge of opening said door.
Yeah, I mean,
here's a heart.
I mean, the dungeons aren't even dungeons half the time in that game. Don't get me started on Phantom Hourglass. I'm sorry.
David, mate, you liked it. Admit it, you liked it.
I gave it a more favorable review than the last person who reviewed the game.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least the more even-handed review. It was slightly higher score, but I mean, whatever. I don't remember who reviewed it before me, but the content of that review I actually really disagreed with. I thought the complaints were not terribly valid. So I definitely felt I had to write a different review. And I knew I didn't like those before I played the game, by the way. I read the review, I'm like, I don't like this review, I don't agree with it. I hadn't played the game yet.
So you don't subscribe to Johnny's review that he shall not be tainted by other reviews?
Oh.
Well, no, I do that too. At the time, I didn't think I was going to be reviewing the game. Once I read the review that was currently on our site, I'm like, no, we need another review. And everyone else was like, oh yeah, we're going to review it. 2 months later, guys, you haven't reviewed it. I finally bought the freaking game. I'm going to review it. Thanks. Bye. The reason we don't have a 10 on our website is because the people who liked the game didn't bother to review it.
I loved the game, and I still wouldn't give it a 10.
That's very strong.
I mean, there's just too many kind of annoying things in that game to really give it.
But also, I found it disappointing that they've constrained themselves to touchscreen versions of previous items in the series.
I thought some of them they did quite
well. Yeah,
quite,
but they could have done stuff that was completely unlike. I mean, it was always just, oh, look, remember the bomb choose one? Now you do them this way. Well, that's fine, but it could have been a lot more interesting if they thought a bit more. Actually, Minish Cap has more out-of-the-box items than that, and that's
well,
on
Minish
the
Cap is just generally speaking out-of-the-box.
It's like Zelda, but you use the touchscreen. They're not all of it, but there were significant chunks that were like that.
I thought that was clever.
I like the fact there was some like that, and I mean they were generally well handled. But why did they all have to be like that? Why can we have some that's like this is an item that you couldn't really even have necessarily conceived of before that they're bringing to you with the touchscreen controls, rather than just purely let's interpret the previous items with the touchscreen. I think it would have been felt a bit fresher. In terms of the actual content rather than just the interface.
The problem with that game was its lever puzzles. I'm sorry. there were lever puzzles in Phantom Hourglass, and the problem is I was on a freaking plane going from America to Europe and from Europe to America when I was playing this game. And if you misread the lever puzzle, because they're really clever and actually mislead you in some way with the numbering scheme, you're stuck for 3 hours cursing at your DS because you don't know what the hell you're supposed to do.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. The ghost.
And in fact,
ship.
I've received a phone call about that puzzle. Somebody asked me, how the hell do you beat this damn thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on an airplane. It's like the worst place to be if you're stuck in a game.
Yes.
Unless you happen to download like GameFAQ and save it to your computer and you have your computer with you, which maybe I should have done. I didn't think to do that. Didn't have the foresight. Anyway, we've talked enough about Zelda. I wanted to mention I've been playing Super Metroid. I've been playing...
Always a good choice.
Well, you know, I've only played through it once. I never owned the game. So I'm actually kind of a noob at it, and I'm really actually stuck, I think, right now trying to find the grappling hook, which for some reason I can't find. But it's okay, because I get to play while I'm listening to like RFN, because I put RFN on my PS3 and play my Wii, because that makes a lot of sense, I know.
So that's what you use your PS3
for. Is that a testament to PS3's usefulness?
The famous PS Wii made real there. Yeah.
You know, it's always funny, because you know I play my PS3 now and again, and you and Windy are never on, ever. Ever. In
I
fact,
don't think
I think
Wendy has
even
a
though,
PS3, dude.
Does he?
I don't think he asked me to bring my PS3 over when 360. I come over. And I don't bring it because I don't have any games for my PS3.
Okay.
Yeah, you
maybe,
bring
see,
the
I could have sworn.
What did you
I could have sworn
it
he
space
had
space heater?
I bought it because it was a good deal. I knew I'd want one eventually. And I wanted one with backwards compatibility. And I have been making use of backwards compatibility because I didn't own a PS2. But I don't know. At this point, there are games I definitely want on PS3. It's just I just don't feel like it. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I'll definitely mean.
Are you online though, TYP?
I'm sorry.
Are you actually online with PS3? Are you online with PS3,
TYP? I have a screen name. If that's all it takes to mean you're online.
Okay. Well, I mean, are you actually like? Let's just say, if I sent you a friend request, could you accept it?
Yes, but I don't have any games you could play with.
But I will.
Theoretically.
You could send me a stupid text message. Yeah, sure.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. I bought a Symphony of the Night. That was like the first thing I did with my PS3. So.
Yeah. So, nice. Well, then you're online, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's all I have for. I guess also I just bought a NanoStreet for my trip coming up. So.
I'd be interested to hear about that, really, because it didn't get a lot of coverage, and they obviously didn't get any coverage from us. but it could be well worth looking into. As a big shooter fan than I am.
I'm by no means an expert at shmups. I'm pretty terrible at them, actually. But I don't inherently hate them if they're well designed and they're not way too difficult. So we'll see how it goes.
The original NanoStreet or the second
this
one?
This is the second one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's sure to make some of our readers happy, because I know we had some people request a review of NanoStreet 2.
Yeah, and it was it was $20 at my store. So I don't know if it's $20 everywhere or not. But so it's not full price right now.
Yeah.
So, look out for that.
Forward to that.
Review. Mm-hmm. Review. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Awkward transition.
Right. Awkward transition. Well, all right.
My job's done.
That was new business. Obviously not quite as silky smooth as I would have liked.
Oh.
But, hey. All right. But I guess we'll move on to news. And we'll run down some of the news, and then after that we'll take a quick break. But the first thing, and I know we have a rant, definitely a rant worthy news item coming up here. There's a new Prince of Persia game that's been announced by Ubisoft. And James, would you care to comment on that?
It looks like an NES game. Everyone at Ubisoft should be fired into the sun.
David, you heard James. NES games are coming back. They're hip again. I don't want to spoil it.
Not when you're expected to probably pay $30 for them, and Ubisoft PR makes them sound like they're the next big thing.
Well, how much did they charge for the NES games on GBA?
$15
at least.
I think I thought it was 20.
Yeah, it was highway robbery.
Oh, no, wait, no, I'm getting confused. It was £15, which is like $30, so yeah.
That's $30.
Yeah, that's because you're in England.
Yeah, we always get gouged. It's a different
scale. Yeah, you're paying crazy European price gouging prices.
Yeah, it's mental.
It's your Texas.
I mean, yeah, we had, I think it was $20 here for them, except for one game I seem to recall being 30 for some inexplicable reason.
Was it a Super NES game? They just snuck it in there.
It was a Mario game, I think, too. I think it was inexplicably expensive.
Wow.
I guess they figured you'd pay for it. But then they announced the Virtual Console, and everybody who bought it felt like a total idiot. But,
Dude, I had it on Animal Crossing.
That's right.
Yeah, don't forget that. So many ways.
So this Ubisoft Prince of Persia DS title is, they made the prince into chibi-fied, which, how should I best describe this without saying looks completely moronic?
Well, it's French chibi-fied.
Yes.
Yeah, but they tried to make him really cute, but then there's just this random scar over his eye.
Yeah,
it's
like
really...
very, very Anakin Skywalker Episode 3 scar, sort of.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense there.
I mean, and the thing is, that whole art style doesn't even fit with the rest of the series.
No,
you know? way back in the day.
Not even the new cartoon version of it doesn't really fit with. But
the
funny thing is, the premise of this game, and I use this term extremely loosely, is that the world is being corrupted by a dark world. That doesn't sound familiar, does it?
I've never heard that used before.
No.
That's like the most generic way to say almost every plot ever in a game.
Yeah,
some sort of peril.
Well,
the best part is the art they released showing this corruption looks just like Metroid Prime Corruption. It's like, even with like little dark tendrils coming out of, it's like exactly the same.
So not to be confused.
So you're
Space
telling
Emissary.
Me this game is about chibis taking on Phazon? That is something
yes.
I never thought.
Reminds me of the. I'm just thinking of the comic of the space pirates deciding they should inject Phazon into their blood because it's poisonous.
they suffer for their art, James.
But the screenshot, which is the primal point here, is by God the ugliest DS game I've ever seen. Now, granted, I didn't see Homie's Rollers. That was the domain of another reviewer. So this is the ugliest.
I think Zach still have nightmares about that one.
Yeah, this is the ugliest DS game I've ever seen, and there is no debate there on that one. It is inexplicably ugly, and if it looks this bad right now, and they release a screenshot. No one at Ubisoft should ever be allowed to utter the phrase, it's still in development. Because if you release a screenshot that ugly, you have no pride.
Well, the problem with the screenshot is the fact that you can't even really tell what's what.
No, it's a bunch of blobs. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's so bad that I honestly thought that, like, it was a practical joke and somebody had released a fake press release regarding the long-rumored Prince of Persia. I didn't think it was real until we got the press release and people had started, you know, running it through our standard news procedure. And I thought to myself, oh my god, it's real. And then I went over to Ubisoft's forums and they were touting it. Like, this screenshot looked good. And for a minute there, I thought I had stepped into some kind of freaky parallel universe. It was just inexplicable.
So is this like a part from the N-Gage or something? I mean, why does it look so bad?
The N-Gage games would have been ashamed of this graphics. I mean, my God, graphics aren't everything. But they got to be something.
Well, you got to be able to play it. You got to be able to tell what the hell's going on.
Yeah, so I mean, it is polygonal. And then you've got polygonal elements, and then you've got 2D in the background.
Sprites. Yeah, and, the sprites look like they're 2D, and what I assume
I
is
hope the sprites
prince...
look like they're 2D.
Yeah, what I
they
can't
look like
tell.
They're 1D. You can't actually see them.
Well, the best part is the sprite of the prince in the only screenshot they've released. The animation at the top—that's his head with his health meter. That's not going to move. It's static. They could have at least given him some damn eyes. He doesn't have any eyes, or a mouth, or a nose. He has what looks like a headdress, and a scarf, and then a face. He's like the man with no face.
Yep.
In his in-game sprite, it looks like he's wearing an Easter bonnet. And there's this red thing in front of him that looks somewhat like the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz been set on fire.
Okay, yeah, you've just described... Princess Toadstool in the original Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, that's chilling, isn't it? Oh, God.
Oh.
I'm glad you've drawn such a rich sort of well of criticism from one screenshot.
The best
it's kind
part
of
is...
It's kind of at once extremely deep and astonishingly superficial at the same time.
That's the problem with putting just one screenshot. It just begs people like us to pick it apart. what we do.
But there's this really bizarre series of like graphical effects, like this spirally swoop of black dust that looks something like a jerk would have tattooed on his upper arm. What he calls the guns.
That's just their version of the lens flare. Just their version of the lens
flare.
Yes, led by a lens flare that looks like Tinkerbell has erupted into a supernova, which is itself led by some green ring of sparkles that is impacting a very flat brown wall, all set behind it to an extremely pixelated moonscape.
I think you should actually sort of record this again and use it as poetry. This is very moving.
I think so.
There are no words to describe this game, but I have heaped more words upon it that I'm convinced went into its entire design process.
See, the thing that amazes me is this is an interesting look inside James's head, because I know at some point he has had a problem with the guy that has had tats on both arms and he calls them the guns. So you know at some point James has had it in for some guy who's pointing the gun and asking him which way to the gun.
You've said too much, James. You've given it away. Your one weakness.
I don't ever want to go to the gun show again.
James hates tribal tattoos. Noted.
Shall we move on?
All right, let's move on. All right, the next item we have up is a Castlevania fighting game.
Yes.
Anybody?
Of course.
It all makes sense now. Soul Calibur Legends, Castlevania fighting game.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's like the Wii. When developers get a hold of it, they completely lose their minds.
Wow. Yeah, this is very odd indeed, isn't it? I mean, as a big, big Castlevania fan, and going back to the leaked screens of Order of Ecclesia before we really knew it was called Order of Ecclesia, it looked like there would be a Wii game, Castlevania, and it would connect up, and there was a lot of optimism, and then you get this. I mean, obviously, we do have... This is from Nintendo Power, sort of leaked kind of stuff, but... We've seen some screenshots of these. We have no idea how good the game is. It could be good, obviously. But in terms of that disappointment felt that, you know, you wanted some sort of... You know, it could have been a WarioLand Shake It type thing where it was a 2D game on Wii for all we knew, and then you get this. There is an undeniable disappointment there, though. I don't wish to jump to conclusions as to the game's quality. I suppose the music will be good. That'll be better.
We're already down to just the music will be good.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know that it's probably going to suck. It's one of those.
Whenever you get this kind of conceptual fudge, normally the development is not far behind in that sort of regard. And yeah, so I think there's always going to be sort of skepticism with something that just doesn't sit right, like this clearly doesn't.
Well, what's Konami's experience with 3D fighting games? Do they have any? I can't think of any.
No, I can't think of any either.
Not only are they taking this series in a, I'm going to use quotes here, bold new direction. They're going in a bold new direction they've never actually done before.
Well, do we know that Konami's developing it itself, or maybe they're...
Well, do we want to consider who they've sent it off to? If IGA has sent it off to somebody, God knows who they've sent it to. Mm-hmm. I mean, Namco couldn't even get a 3D fighting game, a 3D brawler right, and they make 3D fighting games. I just don't know.
Another interesting note, I think, for Castlevania fans in terms of who would be interested in it, perhaps just on the strength of the IP, is that the character designs are not being done by anybody that, for instance, provided the art for the Dracula X Rondo of Blood remake or for Symphony of the Night. Well, they're being done by somebody who is responsible for the Death Note anime or whatever, and so they actually look rather different from what you might be used to from modern Castlevania.
Why are you bothering to even label this Castlevania, guys?
Well, yes, that's what I find curious, is that if you're going to try and rely on the Castlevania brand, one would think they would at least try and remain faithful to it in some way. Whereas what I've glimpsed so far, it looks like they look quite different from what you'd normally associate from Castlevania. It could all turn out well, but it just seems a curious choice to me.
It's Castlevania in that it features a character named Dracula and a character whose name you could get by printing Dracula in reverse.
Oh. Look,
beyond that...
I can see how this game came to be. They realized they screwed up and didn't get, like, Simon Belmont and Brawl. So they realized, oh, crap, we should just make our own fighting game.
I mean, that would have been so much better. I mean, we would have had the music still.
Yeah.
That would have been wonderful. But, yeah, this is... although, of course, he was in that Dream Mega Mix or whatever. Is that their experience, their contribution to that? Because that didn't go very well.
But Snake was in that, too, and he made his way into Brawl. Dream Mega Mix was weird. Optimus Prime, for God's sake. I mean,
that's cool, but it's really weird at the same time.
It's Optimus Prime being in that is like the ultimate punchline for it. If you ever wanted to fight Snake versus Optimus Prime, get your import PS2s now.
How is that a fair fight, really? I mean, is an Optimus Prime like 30 times as big as anybody?
Yes. He's a Mack truck.
I thought it was on GameCube as well.
Oh, that's right. It was on GameCube. Never mind. Just get your freeloaders ready.
There you go.
Yeah. The one thing that really is weird about this game... Well, there's a lot of things weird about this game, but the one thing that was really weird about how it came out was it was leaked scans from Nintendo Power. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to more of those leaked scans because this was a big issue. But the weirdest thing was, like, the article was like, Castlevania like you've never seen! And it was like, yeah, it is. Congrats, guys. Like, yeah. just how they tried to put a positive face on it, it was just somewhat amusing to me. And I think I'm going to buy this issue just to read how they wrote that article up. But it was sort of like this, you could just hear the air being deflated out of the internet collectively when it was released or when it leaked.
Hmm.
I think, you know, like I said, it could be a good game, but I think people now are just so prepared for it to suck. Because, I mean, what's our previous experience with this? We've had we're going to get a Soul Calibur game turned into, we're going to get a Soul Calibur 3D brawler to,
Yeah.
And I think the same thing's happening here. We're going to get a Castlevania game. We're getting a 3D fighter, and then people are just assuming the inevitable letdown is going to come when it finally releases.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's looking... I'm just looking at some screenshots right now, and it's looking exactly like a Soul Calibur ripoff, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. That's what I figured it's probably going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe secretly Namco and Konami switched their IPs and let the other one develop a game.
Mm-hmm.
No, because then it would have actually not sucked. Never mind.
Well, you know, on the bright side, I don't think there's been a really terribly good Castlevania console game in a while either.
Yeah, so has to question, what hypothetical thing are we missing out on?
It right,
might not have been
exactly.
That great anyway. The Optimist side, like I said, maybe something 2D, maybe something different, but yeah, I mean, it's true. The pedigree really isn't there.
No.
On consoles, it just isn't.
Yeah, that series has become such the domain of handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last really revered one was what, on the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Console? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even the ones on the DS are getting kind of dry. I mean,
yeah.
they're getting to the point where they're just rehashes.
Yeah, and I think they feel like we can do this safely.
The Portrait of Ruin, I mean, they were doing a presentation on it at GDC, and literally the guy's saying, isn't this great? We can rehash this stuff all over again.
Yes.
That's literally what he was saying.
Yeah. Our customers are suckers.
We're still the same assets from Rondo, isn't it? Some of those assets go all the way back to the Rondo Blood on the PC Engine all those years ago. They literally go back that far. They were reused for Symphony
of
Night, and then they've been reused ever since. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But look, it's kind of a refreshing attitude in a world populated by companies like Capcom, who will actually rebrand the game and simply make it 2.5D instead of 2D.
All right.
Speaking of Capcom...
Let's see. Oh, well, I mean, if you want to go that route, Mega Man 9 on the NES... On the Virtual Console.
Oh,
sort
supposedly,
of on the
supposedly
on
an NES game on the Virtual Console.
WiiWare, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
What's really interesting to me is there's two things on this. First of all, in terms of the fact that they're going with a classic 8-bit sort of visual style. Number one, I'm guessing it's going to dramatically cut down on the development costs, and then they can focus all their energies on the level design and the weapon design, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
You'd hope that...
Capcom!
You'd hope that that decision, while it might please people in itself, and it's some people like the retro-ness of it, that it will actually have a very functional payoff in the game design area. But the other thing I hope that they do is, while it may be superficially 8-bit visually, obviously it's not. Whatever disparaging remarks may be made about the Wii's technical prowess on an 8-bit console, so you will be able to push around a lot more sprites and a lot more crazy stuff going on at the same time. So hopefully they can really ratchet up the intensity of the game way beyond anything the NES could handle, just with the same visual style.
I should point out that this game actually was revealed today is going to be on all three systems download services.
Mm, yeah.
So it just happened that Nintendo Power leaked first. So
yeah.
This is really like the most Capcom development of any game that's ever been. Like this is so prototypically Capcom that it might actually break the Capcom mold by being too much like something Capcom would do.
It couldn't like really be from Capcom. It's too much like Capcom.
Not only is it a stereotypical of an existing franchise by putting a 9 on the end of it, they've actually gone back and regressed its graphics by 3 generations of console.
And actually, isn't this one going to be the first one with a female boss character? Splash
yes, it
Woman?
Is.
Splash
yes.
Woman.
Oh boy.
Splash Woman. And see, the great part of this is we're returning back to the mainline series. While the Mega Man X series didn't follow the same rigid naming conventions, it did lead us to crazy stuff like Bamboo Pandemonium.
That is so ridiculous.
Oh, no, actually his description is more ridiculous. He's a giant emo panda that guards a giant laser in a bamboo forest.
Of course, why not? Why
yeah,
wouldn't
panda,
he be?
A panda's, panda's emo by default, just because of their...
Yeah, well, he's lonely.
Sad pandas, they're sad pandas.
But, I'm a sad panda.
But the Mega Man panda. Mainline series had really, really, really hardly defined names. It was like Fire Man. Bomb Man.
Man
Rock
Man.
Man.
Yeah. Shooting starships, stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
Ninja
and
fighting.
And now we've got, what was it? We have Splash Woman.
That's I'll let that one go.
That's but there's a bunch of them. Hold on, let me pull up the list because they're all hilarious.
Isn't one of the Magma Man? I like
Magma
one,
Man, Galaxy Man, Jewel Man. Concrete Man,
yes.
Hornet Man, Tornado Man, Splash Woman, and wait for it, Plug Man.
That's intentional.
Plug Man.
Plug Man. What are you going to fight him in a bathtub? I mean.
I hope that's what you do.
I hope that's as tame as it gets.
The everything is 8-bit. The visual style is 8-bit, and it was quote to please fans.
Okay, sure.
So I'm curious as to how like the actual engine it's using. Is this based on the remade version? Like you know how when they made the compilation, they said they lost like all the code, so they had to basically re-implement Mega Man.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if this is using that engine.
It could well be. I mean, it might be modified a little bit to run in the confines of the DLC environment, but yeah. I mean, it could very well be that system. But the funny thing is, it's completely 8-bit in every respect. The music is 8-bit, the cutscenes are 8-bit, and I don't know how people here were hardcore Mega Man fans back in the day, but defining anything that happened in those games as cutscenes is the most liberal use of the term that has ever happened.
Yeah.
I do look forward to Galaxy Man's Black Hole Bombs, which is the only attack they've released so far. But I just find that to be hilarious. And it's being developed by the same team that did Mega Man Zero, ZX, and the Battle Chip Challenge.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It was good until I got to Battle Chip Challenge.
Yeah.
Remember that Mega Man network transmission
Yeah,
game?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's them.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I feared.
Meh.
Yeah,
Hey guys, I plan.
Yes,
that's the one with the dog, right? Where it's like, don't you have the? Yeah, great.
Yeah, Lan's the one that has all the freaky friends that look like there's something terrible in the water. Yeah, every last one of them looks weird. But I'm looking forward to taking down Jewel Man, Concrete Man, and Plug Man. I'm trying to, in my head, come up with what the comparative weaknesses is. And what the hell is Plug Man's weakness going to be?
Pour water on him? You know, he gets electrified.
I mean, he's a plug. Galaxy Man? What? Oh.
You throw star bets at him. I don't know.
I don't know. This is just like...
He's making make that squeaky this noise is, that the Lomas make. And he goes, wee, and transforms.
I honestly believe the reason they stopped making the mainline series was because they honestly couldn't come up with any more names.
Yeah.
And I think this would prove that theory.
They're going to have like, you know, hey man, cool man, whatever man.
Like, because, like, up, I think Mega Man 3 and beyond, there were contests to name the characters because they just couldn't come up with names anymore.
All right.
I know there was a Nintendo Power Conference for three, contest for 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's didn't pretty, they like, actually have design your own boss?
Yeah, they did. And then they didn't pay you for it, of course. But you got a free copy of the game in advance or something stupid like that. Great. Thanks, wow. Capcom.
Yeah, that's when you know they
but
just don't care anymore.
I think they did that through the entire mainline series after, too.
All right. Okay, the next thing we got up here is some new game announcements by Nintendo. You got a new Kirby game and a new Wario Land game.
Wait, wait, well, is this a new Kirby
new
game? Or
Kirby
is this
game?
Well, actually, well, it's the deluxe version. Isn't it?
It's an SNES game ported.
Also, we did already know about this, but they were confirming it as coming to the US, the remake of Kirby Superstar for the DS.
I really like Kirby Superstar, similar with
Wario Land as well, that we already had heard that it was coming to Japan, and then it was officially confirmed as Wario Land Shake It. that's not a great subtitle.
No, it's not. I'm excited about Kirby Superstar because I only played it a little bit when I was younger. I never actually owned it. So I'm kind of excited about getting that, but I'm not quite sure on what added content there is. I say that knowing full well there might not actually be any added content.
I think
content.
They've mentioned some new mini-games somewhere.
There better be something new to justify its existence.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be... Yeah, I know. Well, because in the days... living as we are now in the days of Virtual Console, they have chosen not to release this on Virtual Console with doing the remake, so people will want some sort of compensation for that in content terms, I should think.
Well, and just calling it Deluxe, if it's the same game... might actually be the most
The deluxe part isn't actually new, is it? Because wasn't it called Kirby Super Deluxe in Japan? So
I
actually the new part is Kirby Ultra Super Deluxe in Japan.
Ultra Super Deluxe.
I think. And then it's like, I think in America they're going to call it Kirby Super Deluxe Ultra.
Let's just flip the order around. Who cares?
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. But yeah, I mean, they are, but the point still stands. They are putting
Mario Super Sluggers.
Yeah, you're right.
They are implying that there is some sort of modification. It's some sort of enhanced version with the Ultra part.
Well, didn't they claim like updated graphics or something?
What does that mean, though?
Basically, Superstar was like the source of the graphics for all of like the GBA games.
Yeah, Amazing Mirror and
so,
Nightmare.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's almost like Superstar is the kind of de facto Kirby at this point. It's the one that more or less they did really well. I mean,
yeah.
the reason they're doing this is because they realize they can't make good Kirby games anymore, so they may
probably
as well charge you more for this one.
I mean, the GBA ones, I understand, were actually quite good.
And then they went on to make Squeak Squad, which made me want to tear my eyes out.
What do you think happened in the interim? Where did it all go wrong?
And Squeak Squad.
Sakurai left.
Yeah,
One of the GBA games was done by Flagship, wasn't it? The people that do.
But Flagship doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what happened. That they were being handled by Flagship, and then Flagship ceased to exist, and then
HAL sort of dissolved its talent. I mean, most of HAL's talent is either in Nintendo's executive branch now, or has left altogether. So it's sort of just like their names are gone, and Flagship dissolved. So who's left to make Kirby Squeak Squad?
I guess not anybody that remarkable.
I can't remember the Muzak name. Muzak, there we go.
No, that was Mario Master Disguise, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah.
Those two games
topical given the fact that we're talking about Wario Land Shake It as well.
Let's move on to Wario Land Shake It.
This is interesting because I've seen a few screenshots now where it appears that the game will be bordered 4:3. Basically, if you're running in widescreen, that it'll just have little bits at the side, little art, and it won't actually, you won't actually get the full 16:9 view, which is kind of annoying. I don't really understand that.
I mean, the game's a 2D sprite-based game. How hard is it to render an additional portion of the screen?
I
could see that being
we are talking about a very limited sample of screenshots that I've seen that are in the 16:9 configuration, so this is nothing definitive by any stretch of the imagination.
I suppose, but that is really bizarre.
That would be disappointing if that were true to me, because it's one of the kind of nice things about sort of seeing a 2D game, sort of modern 2D games, it's got this sort of wide expanse. I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
Sort of like with Super Paper Mario.
Do we know who's making this game yet?
It has been. I think it's like a kind of unknown developer in terms of. I don't think they've got a particular body of work to draw upon. That
Oh boy!
I'm not really.
Scared.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a little unnerving, and I mean, presumably this, despite its announcement now, I don't think this is one of Nintendo's higher priority games. But it's still encouraging that it exists and it's on Wii. Well, I mean, we must reserve judgment as ever on the quality of the game, even though it conceptually is far more pleasing than, for instance, a Wario fighting game.
Yes.
We already have one, by the way. But,
I don't know. There could be some interesting characters in a Wario fighting game.
Well, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would have really liked to have seen like Wario and Waluigi like a co-op.
They're quite reticent to not put Waluigi in anything other than the sports games, aren't they? On the
Mario Party or whatever. Yeah,
I think they are concerned that a lot of people just don't like Waluigi.
If they were that concerned, they would just get rid of him entirely, surely.
It's the Mario franchise. They don't get rid of anybody they can put in a Mario Party game.
They've got rid of loads. They've got rid of the Bowser kids, the original Koopa kids.
People like them, too. What the hell?
I know they could have.
But now we have Bowser Jr.
They could have an entirely new game.
Bowser.
They could have an entirely new game with just leftover characters.
Sort of Super Mario Bros. The Lost Characters.
Yeah, like the Land of Misfit
Toys. So you could
have
like Booster. You could have Boosters like you're Wario. No, I'm Booster. Oh, okay.
I think there was a curious thing that came out sometime later. Apparently, Super Princess Peach was going to have the Koopa Kids in it, but they took them out.
That's a shame.
Screwed again.
That's very odd.
That game has some issues, though, like the fact that her powers come from having extreme emotional instability.
There was an interesting conceit for that, because the whole place was about emotional instability. Like, the Goombas were emotionally unstable, so it wasn't just her.
Oh, okay,
it was called Vibe Island or whatever, so everybody was, you know, emotional, hormonal.
Yeah, 'cause it does come off a little, sexist.
They're covered, James.
They're covered. I don't know. They've not been the most sensitive company in the past of such concerns, so I mean...
they definitely wouldn't have made a commercial for Ocarina of Time that insulted the ability of gay girls to play games, so I know they wouldn't have done that, for instance.
did they? I don't remember the commercial.
Wilt thou save the girl or play like one? Thank you, 50% of the audience.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
All right.
Well, when this game was originally announced, I figured you'd be pretty happy about it because it'd be like, you've asked for.
Oh, I'm happy to see they're doing this. The problem is, I'm very, very concerned based on what I have not heard about the game. I mean, it's kind of like Master of Disguise all over, where I'm like, oh boy, a new Wario game, but then they don't really talk about it much, and, you know, they aren't really hyping it up that much, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean,
see, Master of Disguise, I could felt like it was going down the Squeak Squad route the minute they announced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Like, it just felt like a Squeak Squad game.
Okay.
Well-known touchstone of all video games.
I guess
Squeak Squad.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. It's like the Gong Show, only with squeaks, right?
Yeah, we've seen enough squeak.
But really what it is that I've kind of accepted the fact that the team that made the Wario Land games I love, they've kind of moved on. I mean, honestly, the guys behind Wario Land 2 and 3 are like, they basically were Metroid team. Like, a lot of the big Metroid people are part of the Wario Land team. And they're just not going to put their time towards another Wario Land game. And so, you know, Wario Land 4 was a sign, like, you know, they got kind of a whole new team, new look, new feel going into this thing. And I just don't expect that to change back to the old ways for Wario Land 5. Shake it. I mean,
shake it.
Or Wario Land 8, or whatever. Because there have been, like, Wario Lands on other systems that people forget about.
For good reason?
Virtual Boy is fine. I don't know.
It's meant to be good, wasn't it?
Wario Land is weird in that, like, the numbering scheme is totally out of whack. I mean, they had Wario Land 2 and 3 on the Game Boy, and they had Virtual Boy, which is another Mario Land. And I think, actually, in Japan, the Game Boy Advance game was actually just called Wario Land once again. So
it's all like Castlevania. They love doing that. Like Super Castlevania 4 in America is simply Castlevania. Well, Akamaju Dracula, Demon Castle Dracula in Japan. They don't have a number for it.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see it's happening, but I can't get myself excited about it. I just, you know, to me, Drill Dozer is the last Wario Land game.
I really need to play that. That's
a good game. It really is good.
That's from the Pokemon people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from Game Freak.
Yeah, I'd really like to see them do something else that's non-Pokemon related. Because,
well, you know, I mean, yeah, they have that pedigree. I mean, they have like Pulse Man and stuff, which admittedly was a Mega Man knockoff. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to Mega Man, but it was a pretty good one.
All roads lead to Mega Man.
I'm not familiar with the game. I'm sorry.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
I guess ask him out on Virtual Console, and we'll check it out.
Yeah.
Maybe eventually.
They do have non-Pokemon experience.
So are we talking about Game Freaks, or are we talking about Creatures Inc. Game Freak.
Yeah.
Game Freak. Okay.
Yeah. Creatures Inc. exists just to hawk the Pokemon label, don't they?
I don't know.
No, that's,
I guess
that's
I don't
the Pokemon
know. Yeah.
Company.
Is that the same thing as the Pokemon Company?
No, it's not. There are three companies devoted entirely to managing that brand.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
It's a big brand, Joe.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge brand. All right.
But I mean,
let's move on from that one. One other thing here, the EA Sports has announced that they are now going to rebrand all of the EA Sports games for Wii as All Play.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to doing that preview for NCAA football now.
Yeah, the thing is that with this, I mean, my comment as, you know, a semi-sports gamer is, you know,
semi.
This stuff. Well, I don't. That's the thing. I don't consider myself a real hardcore sports gamer just because I really don't play the games enough.
Okay.
But yeah, this is just one of those things where this is just the kind of stuff that really drives, I think, you know, sports gamers kind of away from the Wii, because this is just saying this is a family game. This is a family game, even though they do still have this all the same features in it. You know they're tossing in, you know, party, you know, mini games.
Well, I mean,
games.
Yeah, on a similarly superficial level, I mean, some of the things that are going on in the new Madden are quite interesting, like sort of little artistic trails off bullet passes and, you know, all this. Yeah, I mean, like cartooning.
Don't say it around Pac-Man.
Are they going to have, like, something in
the
next Madden game?
He doesn't want to be called that anymore, James.
He's Adam Jones
respect.
Now.
It's Adam Jones, yes. And I'm sure he's going to play very well for the Cowboys. that sort of thing. I mean, people could take one look at the videos and just see a trail on a pass and think, not for me.
Yeah.
Not interested. Because I think it infers that the gameplay is more arcadey than perhaps it is.
Yeah.
That's an interesting approach to take, too. So they're really kind of almost turning their back on those kinds of people. And so we're going to go for a complete... You know, they haven't sold that well on Wii so far, so it's like, no, we're not going to try and sort of convert people. We're going to try and get entirely new people that maybe have just bought Wiis for Wii Fit or God knows what.
Well,
and,
you know... The other part of Well, the other part of this news story is that your Madden is now going to come with a plastic football attachment for your remote.
Oh yeah, good lord! The peripherals that they're developing or whatever. I mean, we don't know specifics yet, but goodness knows what ungodly white piece of plastic is going to accompany.
Yeah, because that's right. They're going all Rock Band, right? That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what my vote is for the most cost-effective one? The Tiger Woods tee.
the other spin on this story, just to clarify what we're cracking wise about, that these games are going to start shipping with little plastic attachments to the remote because, quote, we've seen that works well.
But I mean, but aren't they going to do that?
I mean, it's just such a bold-faced conceit that we're doing this because it'll sell the game.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I mean, this is, I suppose,
even though Madden is co-opting some of the Pro Evo style innovation with the pointer stuff, with the audibleizing, this is quite different from the Pro Evo approach. It's very much like, right, we're going to more capitalize on the kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, the Decker Sports crowd.
Yeah.
I think it's more in the marketing than it is in the substance, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, the core games, I would say to people who are a bit more, dare I invoke the word, serious about their sports games, should actually be mindful that they're probably overstating how dumbed down these might be.
Yeah.
They might actually be good.
Yeah.
Are you talking to the Bill Belichick of Madden fans?
No, that man's not serious. He's just unscrupulous evil.
Well, it just really frustrates me that these games, I mean, when I play a game like, you know, like Pro Evo Soccer, I mean, that's a great game in its own right, and you know, they aren't out there saying, "Oh, this is, you know, some kind of family version when compared to the 360 or the PS3 version." It just, you know, they just sell the game on its own merits without having to throw their hands up and say, "We can't sell this any other way other than branding it as, you know, some sort of family game."
Well, they can't sell it the way they're selling it now.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not selling very well. Maybe it's probably selling better
in
Europe. But
I think it's
done pretty well in Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's sensational like Mario and Sonic or anything like that. But
what is like Mario and Sonic in Europe?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you think there's
happening.
Gold bars in those cases?
I think it's going to keep Sega in business for the next 15 years.
You say it like it's a good thing.
Did I? I'm pretty sure the voice inflection says otherwise.
Speaking of Sonic, did you guys see the new Sonic Unleashed trailer?
I saw screens.
I've seen screens from it.
So
supposedly there's people from the Sonic Rush and Sonic Adventure, Sonic Advance games for the GBA, are contributing level designs to this or something. So that would be
comforting.
That could be quite comforting. I think that's for the Wii version alone, maybe. You know,
would that be a tacit admission by Sega that their current 3D game Sonic Team is awful?
Yeah, well, you know,
it's something we've been telling them for about a decade.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that is somewhat encouraging because I've liked what I've played of those games. There's some hope for it, perhaps.
So is the Wii version going to be different from the other versions?
I think it's unclear to me. Yes. But it is unclear. It is unclear exactly how different. I mean, obviously the graphics are going to be different, but
everything else
is kind of up in the air.
Because, you know, they took some pretty... With the last set of Sonic games they released, you know, there were two games. It was the Sonic Secret of the Rings, or whatever the hell it was called,
and Sonic
2007
Rings.
That was disturbingly
I mean, I think Secret Rings, from what you hear, had at least some merit, whereas the 360 one was really awful. I think that's generally...
it was generally regarded as the worst game in the PS3's one-year life cycle at that point.
Well, I don't take it for what it's worth, but I had a friend who has another friend who's apparently a game tester for this new Sonic game, and he's like, yeah, they're basically pretending that didn't happen. Now, that's totally a thing that Sega would say to market their next Sonic game, and I understand that.
Sega fans have got to be like the most, like, there's like some sort of abuse relationship going on there.
Codependent to it.
They'll never do it again to me. They said they were sorry, and then they just bend over and take it.
Well, for what it's worth, the trailer, which is on, I know we can find like Game Trailers, that's Bloodworth linked me to it, looks pretty decent. I mean, honestly, Sonic Team really knows how to choose the best level and hype that level up. I mean, they've been doing that since Sonic Adventure 1.
Yes.
But, sweet!
I'm running from a killer whale.
Yeah, but I mean, this—it does look. It looks closer to Sonic Adventure 2 in quality, at least for the PS3/360 version. I don't know if it'll be the same, but it has. It goes actually into side-scrolling mode for a little bit too, which looks interesting.
Well, I guess that's where the expertise, if you want to call it that, from the handheld people could come in on Wii.
Maybe.
It is unclear.
It's like they finally checked the mail they've been being sent for the last 7 years.
Perhaps. So there may be some hope for the game until they throw the second mode that no one wants to play in there.
And then the third mode that people don't want to play even less.
Yeah, because Sonic Team loves to do that. It makes the game last longer!
wasn't that a fun racing level? Now here's a timed jewel collection. God.
All right. Okay, and the one last item we have here is for James, especially new downloadable content for what's that? That little King game.
God, I couldn't care
the name
less
is too long.
DLC for this right. game.
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life.
Ah, there it is.
Is it
yes. I don't even know what the content is. What is
oh,
it?
Oh, you know what it is, James.
Is it more outfits bikini? For your little chancellor?
I'm not too sure. You see,
yeah,
James, I thought you would have known.
Right?
Yeah, because I stopped playing that game. All right, I'm going to go through it. The Infinity Spire.
He has it right there. You know he did.
Points.
All along.
I launched. You know, we have a news website that we all work
whatever,
for.
Whatever, you're reading that off your own personal copy.
Oh, yeah. You're just listing your purchases for tax purposes.
Yes.
He's
I'm going to itemize
my Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
What you
my
don't know is
virtual player.
Costumes for questionably proportioned female chancellors are actually tax deductible.
All right, so I'm running through the list, and there is one for the new chancellor. Mm-hmm.
Yes!
This download unlocks an outfit suited for beach and, quote, tropical
there
climates.
Are
there any of those
in
the game?
Thank you. A new bikini, did
game?
I say it? I
There's
said
no
it.
Climates in the game. You live in a castle and you never get to leave.
I rest my case.
A beach is mentioned in the game, but you never get to actually see it.
So it's role play. It's wish
yes.
fulfillment.
She is trying to sleep her way to the top. Let's just say
it's
it.
It's out there now.
With the 8-year-old king. New royal outfit number 2, 100 repoints, 3 blocks, and it's a casual summer wear for the player's young king character.
Nice.
Because wow. I know I'm going to respect the king
casual
who's,
summer wear.
Who's wearing his beach trunks and sunglasses while we're fighting off an evil menace the world has never seen before. Yes.
Do you ever see that menace in the game, or is that all off screen?
You do, actually. And in fact, ooh. He comes and like bullies you like he's the playground jerk with the tribal armband tattoo.
Oh, okay.
James is arch nemesis. Tribal armband guns.
Alright, there's the library that's 200 Wii points and it's 8 blocks, which is inexplicable since these are basically just unlock codes.
Some of them are longer than others.
If the adventurer can clear the land of Okuga Dungeon, they'll be able to build libraries that teach adventurers race-specific abilities. Great. There's
Black
the
exploitation.
Exactly. There's the castle renovation. It's 100 points and 8 blocks. And it adds a jukebox option to the castle, as well as the ability to rename your kingdom adventurers. Wow.
Yeah.
And there's the Infinity Spire, which adds 2 dungeons to the game and includes the Infinity Spire, which gains levels and becomes more difficult every time it's cleared, offering a continuous challenge to end-game adventures.
Great.
Oh, great. So it's like... it's never finished. You can torture yourself forever.
Yep, it's one of those infinite dungeons, except the fact that you don't actually get to experience it.
I think you're doing a disservice there, TYP. At least you don't have to pay... to continue through it. At least the infinity is paid for.
Yes, the first time. You don't have to pay
300
points.
You're doing a good
points.
Deal there.
You don't have to pay 300 points every time you wish to attempt the dungeon. That will be in the next DLC pack. Yeah, that's it, and I'm ashamed to have read that list.
All right, well, on that note, we will head to a break, and then we will come back, and we'll do some... we'll look at a little bit more of WiiWare and Virtual Console, and we'll do some reader mail. So, come right back. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Free Nintendo. We're moving right along. And up next, we got a quick look at this week's WiiWare / Virtual Console selections. The first one up is Magnetica Twist for WiiWare, which looks like a Zuma clone, if anybody's played that. Thoughts?
What? I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah,
there was a version
was
on the DS.
Gleefully unaware of this game's existence until you just mentioned it to me. And I am still gleefully unaware of this game's existence, despite the fact that you just mentioned it to me.
I think if it's the same as in Europe, it's 1,000 points, so it's not exactly cheap. To say the least.
Really? It's 1,000
It was
points?
In Europe, anyway. I haven't seen the specifics.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, I suppose one could say it's on par with Dr. Mario, which is not an entirely different kind of game.
Yeah.
Does it have compared like, all with the modes?
Compared with Gyrostar, for instance, that came out last week, it's 1,000 points seems a little rich.
Johnny gave an 8, by the way.
I suppose the other issue is whether they'd say, oh well, you know, there was a retail DS game of this, so you know, it's got multiplayer or whatever, so it's good value. But you could probably get that DS game for cheaper than $10 now, I'd wager.
Probably
somewhere, if you were fortunate, I suppose.
If you really wanted it.
Yes.
And then.
Yeah, and the.
Go ahead. You're the host, man. Go ahead.
Yes, James. You're not getting residual urges to host, are you? That's the last time.
I don't know. I think you've got an easier bid without Carl and Stan.
Oh, my excuses.
Well, I guess my mistake is actually thinking that James might have something interesting to say.
Oh,
boom, yeah, I went
so
there.
So John is
what?
Getting edited completely out of this podcast.
Yeah, we've forgotten who wears the editing trousers.
We'll just put, like Beaker from The Muppets.
Yes.
All right. Now the virtual console game this week is Fatal Fury 2.
Now my first comment is the fact that he was able to say the virtual console game this week.
And that is a Fatal Fury 2. That is a trend that has emerged.
I'm really sick of this. I mean, if you're going to give us one virtual console a week, at least make it not crap every time. I mean,
well,
maybe
Nintendo's
this game
almost.
Crap. I don't know.
Nintendo is very much sort of just absented from all of this now.
I think we're looking at the future with Kirby Superstar Deluxe Ultra Mega.
Because the way things are going in Europe is quite different, because what they're doing is they're alternating weeks between WiiWare and Virtual Console. So what seems to be happening is every other week you get 5 Virtual Console games, although 2 of them are almost without fail Commodore 64 games, which obviously America would not receive. Even with all this, you get Sega games, you get Neo Geo games, but hardly any Nintendo games to be found. And I think this week there was the Pack Attack, the Pac-Man falling block puzzle.
Yes, which I have on Pac-Man World 2.
That's the first Super NES game to come out at all in Europe for ages, for weeks upon weeks, months, I think.
And they went to Pack Attack?
Yeah, there really hasn't, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think America's had that game for months, actually. We're playing catch-up with that.
So. Yes, because we made fun of it. But
it's odd,
I mean,
isn't it?
Nintendo seems
to not only just, like, you know, they're not really interested in releasing virtual console games on their systems at all at the minute. It's all Neo Geo, and then Commodore 64 in Europe, and then a bit of Master System or Genesis.
So essentially you're saying nothing that anyone would ever want to play.
Well, it scarcely
pretty
has
much.
Been. There really hasn't been a lot lately, has there? It's disappointing, very much so.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, with Fatal Fury 2, I mean, you get the opportunity to play with characters named Terry, Andy, and Joe.
Yes.
Come on.
My dream game.
Come on.
My dream game.
I mean, the hairs are standing up on the back of my neck just saying that.
I don't
that.
Really think...
I'm going to be Terry.
I don't really
no,
think
be
names
Andy.
Like
no,
John
be
Everyman belong in something called Fatal Fury 2.
John Q.
Everyman belongs in Shooting Ship.
John Everyman belongs to Arnold Schwarzenegger for the irony value. He was always called John. It's like, what, really? Look at him. Listen to him. He's not called John.
Greg obsesses about the naming decisions of Schwarzenegger movies.
It's total rubbish. John Kimball, Jack Slater.
Jack Slater itself is a hilarious name.
He's a good
that was
Brian Ross.
That was self-aware, though. That was a spoof, so it could get away with it.
Yeah. So all we have to talk about this game is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because the naming conventions are comparably absurd. There was a legitimate connection there.
Oh, okay. You could have made a better connection if you had gone and said the naming convention of the game, Fatal Fury, is in and of itself preposterous.
Terry Terrible.
Sounds
Andy
like a
Amazing.
Yes.
Joe Jackass. You know, that would have made sense for Fatal Fury.
I mean, not only is this
twice as bad as
not
the
only
first
is
game.
This fatal. But it is a fury of which fatality can be derived.
And it's the second one.
It's the second time this has happened, so clearly the first one wasn't very fatal.
Not as fatal as it
well,
appeared.
Not as fatal as advertised.
Well, that's the thing. It makes sense because I just want to kill myself from the anger of the fact that this is the only virtual console game out this week. So,
You mean the fury that this is the only virtual console game released this week?
Yes.
God.
You've got to wonder how many Super NES games and so forth Nintendo actually are going to remake, like Kirby Superstar, because it, it doesn't seem like they want to release a lot of the good stuff they've got left, like Yoshi's Island.
They released it on the GBA.
But so's Mario 2. So's Mario World. So's Mario 3.
but Mario 3 is called Mario...
Advanced 4.
Advanced 4, to completely screw with my mind.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. That to me is a bit curious that they seem to be so, you know, they're holding. But they seem to have come to a point where they released a lot of their most legendary titles, but not all of them, and seem to have lost any interest in releasing any of those.
They changed their mind. Square. They talked had a good nice long talk with Square Enix and realized, oh my god, they're right.
Square's like, no, you got to put them out on DS and put the word Ultra at the end. Make you a lot more money. And then it's like, oh, is that how you've done it all these years with completely rehashed franchises or plot lines that don't make any sense anymore?
Yep.
All right, I mean, I guess we've exhausted
making fun
WiiWare
of these
VC.
Games. We've exhausted that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I just wish it, you know, it's almost like they put out crappy game after crappy game just so when they do put out a good game, everybody is so amazed by it. Like, they just throw people a bone.
Are you suggesting that maybe we should adopt a new policy to not talk about good games that come out on the virtual console? Because I'm willing to embrace said policy. Like, just ignore they happen.
He's willing to take it to the end.
And just completely beat any game that comes out that's not a good game? Because at the moment, we haven't mentioned what Fatal Fury even is.
Well, it's on the Neo Geo. Figure it out.
It's a...
That's not true.
You know...
It would be a 2D shooter.
I mean, it's not going to be an RPG, tell you
that's more the province of Hudson System.
Of a TG-16. What game is it? It's a 2D shooter. How do you know it's a TG-16 game?
Yeah, whereas Neo Geo's the fighting is the... Fighting is the milieu... of that particular system.
But we have to, what subgenre of fighting it is? It is a brawler.
Yeah, you've got brawler, you've got a couple of, you've either got Street Fighter knockoffs or Final Fight knockoffs, so either way, it's some sort of Capcom derivative.
And
that, I think, is the healthy basis for a console software lineup. I think we all
to emulate Capcom?
I think so.
To emulate the company that emulates
Sub of a particular genre of Capcom.
Yes. Well, the best part about it being a Final Fight knockoff is that you can almost get Fatal Fury from the letters of Final Fight.
No, Fatal Fury's not. That was Burning Fight. This is one-on-one.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this seems it's like a Street Fighter knockoff.
Is Fatal Fury the fighter or is it a brawler?
It's a fighter.
Yeah. But now how does that compare to Samurai Showdown?
It's not as good.
That's the consensus, okay. I think.
Generally. Samurai Showdown is actually a good game.
And I should note, Samurai Showdown 2, I think, has been confirmed for next month on the Japanese virtual console, or this month, as people...
But it's going
to
be on the collection disc!
Well,
what the hell?
They're following through, Some people don't like optical media, James.
Oh, okay.
What about King of Fighters, then?
Good question.
Because that's in the mix too. I mean, all of these SNK, like, they all everything on Neo Geo just blends together.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
indeed, absolutely.
They did actually reuse like engines between games. So I mean, there's a reason it all blends together. Mm-hmm. It's running the same engine built by the same team for the same hardware.
Yeah.
Ported from the arcade by the same team to the same console, and then ham-fistedly ported to every other console in existence to create really bad versions of those games.
I don't see your point.
Man.
Well, just noting that there's a reason these games all blend together in that they are basically the same game.
Really, the point is that there's no point. It's really James Rage that you really should focus on.
Not really, because I like these games. This isn't Rage. I'm just willing to concede that they were probably a really lazy development house.
Not Rage, it's Fury.
Fury.
Fatal Fury? Rage,
yes. Yeah, you can get confused with Sega now, Jen.
Sega.
Right, yeah. Rage is for us.
All right.
All right. Yes.
All right, on to Reader Mail.
Reader Mail.
And, we definitely have some good candidates here for some reader mail this week. All right, first one up.
That's you,
this
John.
This one's. That's me.
Oh, dude, it's going to happen as well.
See? James tries to hijack the show. He just gets
it
back.
We could have just sat here for 4 minutes while you figured out that it was you, but I mean.
Dude, I wrote it down, man. Believe me, I'm being a responsible host here, all right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. I'm sure you're as excited as I am at today's DVD release of The Spiderwick Chronicles. This is from... Who is this from?
Brett Taylor. And Brett Taylor, okay. I remember that name.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're as excited as I am at today's DVD release of The Spiderwick Chronicles. And I was just wondering if you'd heard anything about any game tie-ins. Say, a licensed DS game? I wonder if it's any good.
If only there were a way to discover this.
I gotta say, I have no idea.
The softball.
Moving right along.
Oh,
John Lindemann, reviews editor, NintendoWorldReport.com.
Did you ever post that review? Seriously, I don't even know at this point.
No. No, he's not posted.
So you missed your second deadline.
It was half done two weeks ago.
Oh, it's coming along.
It's coming along. Are you adopting the put 1,000... monkeys in a room with typewriters philosophy of writing this review?
Yeah, unfortunately the monkeys are still in transit. That's some of the problem.
They're still playing the game and it's just too hard for them.
Yeah, it's still in the works.
They need to figure out how to block, I think.
Alright,
P.S. and there's still actually more. I command thee to speak no evil of Guitar Hero on tour. If you live in a house like mine where the newest console is a used GameCube, that thing is a godsend. All hail Vicarious Visions. PPS, I love Greg.
Yes, we know from some of your previous letters.
is this Mr. Anglophilic Manlove?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
It's nice to be loved.
See, so has anybody here played Guitar Hero on tour?
It came out, what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually haven't played it yet. I think Wendy's probably the only person on staff who's played it. But I saw it in the store, and its display box is enormous.
Really?
Yeah, and then, of course, in that same trip, I saw Cocteau's Magical Circus, which I'm going to tell all our listeners right now. If you march into your Circuit City, you can find the brand new Cocteau's Magical Circus for $15, and I can guarantee you'll have more fun with it than Guitar Hero on tour, because it's got 40 minutes.
Oh, you've gone too far. You've gone way too far.
Your podcast privileges are revoked.
I know you're being facetious, but
you're cut off, man. You're cut off.
Somebody might stop listening before I said that and then go out and spend the $15, and you don't know what kind of domino effect that could trigger. That's that. I think you're next up, James.
Oh, okay. Hey guys, with Toki Tori or whatever being released and other cell phone games and such being ported and updated for WiiWare, how would you feel about Nintendo 64's Tetrisphere coming to WiiWare? I know it could be released on the N64, but I have ideas why it should be on WiiWare instead. 1. Optional pointer/tilt controls. Point to the block, rotate the nunchuck to rotate the sphere. 2. Are you trying to do your best Stan impression right now? 2. Sorry, it could use 3D head tracking to great use. 3. Graphics need to be cleaned up some.
4.
Music, while amazing, can also be cleaned up some. 5. Some online versus modes would be great, since local play was not that great because it took up so much TV space to play and it was hard to play two-player. Not going to happen because we've already seen that we can't
questions.
Do online. All this would make a great package, but that's just me. What do you guys at Nintendo World Report think? Adolf Vega from Arlington, Texas. Well, I'm going to say right now that that sounds good to me, but I never actually played Tetrisphere, so I'm
you hear good things about it. I think Johnny said
pretty
good things.
That's a question that Johnny should be answering, and he's not on.
Yeah.
Yep.
No. I actually owned that way back in the day. And yeah, I mean, I love that game. It was really good. Like, it was one of those games for the N64 that I didn't think it would be as good as it actually was, but it turned out to be a really, really good Tetris take on the Tetris genre, I guess you could say. In terms of the Wii controls for it, I'm trying to actually, because if I remember correctly, you had a, I mean, you had a sphere that you were dropping the little, what are they called, Tetris pieces
Tetraminos.
Yeah, that's it. Tetraminos. I knew they had some official name.
That's wow, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yep, you learn something new every day, James. You come to the podcast every week.
Why do I know that?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, do you think it would work with those controls?
You know, with the sphere, I think it would be kind of like the Weather Channel on the, you know how you can spin the globe?
That game is awesome, you know, by the way.
But that's kind of what it would be like. I mean, it would be, you could do it. I don't really think you would have to do it with that game. I think it could work perfectly fine with normal controls. But
see, I think there's like
it
a whole
perfectly fine with normal controls. It was on the N64.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
I think there's like a whole subgenre of games that could be released on the Virtual Console. But when the Virtual Console was first announced, everybody was like, "Oh, I hope they do this and this and this to the game." And
yeah.
I think that if there were developers and publishers who were willing to take that risk, there are games that could come out and be, you know, redone in that. And released for maybe what, $10 instead of the, well, that's N64 price anyway.
Yeah, $15, let's say.
But no, because then you're actually going higher than Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles with the not so optional DLC. And that's not a plateau I think any game wants to cross.
I thought that was $15, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
I thought it was $12.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty
sure. Oh, okay.
Well, you paid for it, but. You know, I don't want to be your accountant here, James, but
oh yeah, I know. But but I think you've already passed over the Kotor Fishing Master price.
No, yeah, you've already well passed that. Yeah,
which is the baseline for what good games should be priced at, because that is clearly a good game. And
the
beyond Kotor that
line is what it will be called from now on.
How many fish are there in that game again?
Oh. That
five
game,
millennium.
That game just had such a completely insane description that I can never let it go.
Yeah.
But I think there are games that could do that. But with the N64 games, I don't think you could charge more than 1,000 points for a Tetrisphere game. I just don't think you can, because it is.
Yeah.
It's still a Tetris game. But the N64 version would come out at 1,000 points, and you might sell more copies of the updated version, and I think invariably you would. But the cost of redeveloping the game versus the cost of putting together a ROM dump with a slightly customized N64 ROM around it, you know, or emulator around it, what's the difference? I mean, it's so much cheaper that...
Well, so, I mean, they have already done this with Dr. Mario, though. I mean, that's the precedent, is that they could have just released N64 Dr. Mario, but they didn't. They packaged it. They sort of, in some ways, they took a few things away, but they added Virus Buster, they added online.
How much did Mario cost?
Points-wise, 1,000. It was the same as an N64 game.
Right, so Dr. Mario MD still has his medical bills to pay, but I think in that case, it there was a guaranteed volume of sales by doing it this way.
Guaranteed, I mean, it has the
gain.
Mario name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gain in sales now was so much more substantial that the price of development was offset.
Yeah. Now, I could see them maybe redoing this game with a Mario theme.
Yeah, you could always try that.
I would think. Yeah, Mario, you could always
try
that.
A Pokemon theme.
Yeah,
all that. They've done that too, haven't they? Yeah.
Maybe they could just make a Pokemon Troze WiiWare game.
Oh, reaching back God into
forbid.
The spin-off archive there.
That's right.
Would you like to discuss Pokemon Dash as well?
Pokemon Dash for WiiWare.
Cap Master!
Guaranteed review by Zach Miller, because no one else will take it.
Wooden Tail take it. It's got Pokemon in the title.
Oh, please. Yes. At least that isn't the Pokemon Channel. Jeez.
Pokemon Channel for WiiWare with dynamically created channels.
That's where you can watch people will play their other Wii channels. Yes.
It can tap into your WiiWare. It can tap into your Wii weather, and you can find out what the weather is in your Pokemon village. Oh, now
you're hired,
that,
James.
Somebody's gonna make it.
Yeah, you got it. Somebody's biting that idea, man.
If that gets made, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to you, because I kind of suggested it as well.
Instigator.
you're going to be on Nuremberg for this.
Oh, man. So, yes, while it could be a good concept, I'm not sure that anybody would take the fiscal risk to do it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, that's the biggest barrier, I think. I mean, in some ways, it makes a lot. It seems like it would benefit from some of the enhanced functionality rather more than Dr. Mario did. Like I said, it seems like there's more of an imperative to have it online, as Johnny routinely likes to remind us there's no reason for Dr. Mario to be online.
Or anything to be online, for that matter. Why would you ever want to play
Dr. Mario?
This is Johnny and I constantly butting heads. Why would you ever want to why would you ever want to play any of your friends online? Why?
I think he's got a legitimate point with Dr. Mario. Mario Kart, not so much, but some of that is because of Mario Kart's flaws, so I'll give him that as well.
Mm-hmm. If Dr. Mario had voice chat, I would have laughed so hard.
You can't talk to anyone during that. You have to concentrate too hard.
That's why it would be funny.
Well, it'd be funny because they couldn't put it into Smash Bros, but they'd put it into...
I think the only way it could really be fruitful is to give it to what some of the more verbose NFL players that are always like, oh, I'm going to beat you on this. Oh, yeah. I'm going to, you know, and say discouraging things about each other's mothers, probably.
Greg just wants to play a match against Tom Brady in Dr. Mario voice chat edition.
No, I'm not discussing him.
So next question.
All right, Greg, your retort is next question.
Yes, and this is from Golden Phoenix, one of our more frequently insulted by the podcast contributors.
We are sorry about the Evan remark. I apologized about it before, and I chastised him after recording.
Okay, and it goes thusly. Hello to the old crew. All I have to say about episode 103 is, wow. So here is a digital hug for Johnny as he makes his return. although he is not. I guess we'll have to time defer the hug to next week.
Anyway, those don't appreciate in value, by the way.
I have noticed an extreme lack of survival horror games this generation. It is sad when the Wii apparently has more survival horror games than PS3 or 360, even if they are not stellar titles. Look at Bug Island. Or
I'd rather
Escape.
Not. I'd actually
Escape
rather not.
From Bug Island.
I would rather not look at that game, to be honest.
Yeah. Most people agree with you, James. Do you guys believe that the genre is on the verge of dying out to open up room for more FPS horror games? In addition, are any of you fans of the genre? They scare me to the point of not wanting to play anymore, but I still love them. P.S. I still love you, Wormy. Oh, why are you saying that? Even after the last
I haven't used that icon in like 6 months. God. And it was a spoon.
Yes. I think that's the joke. And Greg, thank you for being the best British guy on the podcast. Very complimentary. Lindy, thanks for showing us that serious gamers like to watch their games, not play them. that one will run a run, I'm sure. So hugs to all.
I like how she controls us in not even in real time anymore. It's just gotten to the point where it's like we're being paid back for Carl's and Stan's statements about her, and we didn't even do them. It's like the dividends are being paid against us, and it's not our fault.
The sins of the fathers are visiting the podcast sons.
Oh, God.
All right, survival horror. Let's see. Now, I know there's a couple of survival horror games coming out. There's
This year could be a bit of a renaissance because you've got Silent Hill 5 or Silent Hill Homecoming or whatever they're calling it.
Silent Hill Resident Evil 4 edition.
Dead Space is coming out too, isn't that? I think Dead Space is coming out for 360 and PS3.
And there was, what was it, Alone in the Dark just came out. Is that still like a survival horror-ish kind of thing anymore?
Yeah.
I've lost track.
It's lost a little bit of the horror aspect, but it still basically is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be having a bit of a...
Well, there's also Fatal Frame for the Wii.
Fatal Frame's the big one for the Wii, yeah.
Made by
really
Grasshopper Manufacturer, so it's going to be completely insane.
It's
going
to scare you in some fashion, I suppose. But it seems to me that this kind of two, with the current setup, with the two systems, you know, the HD on the one hand, and then Wii with the different input, you've got the capacity for greater immersion in either case, because obviously HD graphics and more detail and all, they're quite integral to get in that sense of being in that place, and therefore sort of the heightened tension, all that sort of stuff. And then with the Wii, you've got the more immersive controls that could be applied well, potentially. So in either case, I think there's some sort of fertile soil to make better and more interesting survival horror games. I just don't know whether the Fatal Frame and Silent Hill that may deliver on that yet, but I guess we just haven't seen it. I mean, Condemned was like that, wasn't it? Sort of, for 360 in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to see another game that does kind of the sanity effect type thing that Eternal Darkness did with the controller.
Yeah.
I could see some really weird stuff going on where you think that the sensors are all messed up in the remote and stuff, and it's really just the game screwing with you.
Yeah, they could do that, but I think that that game was frightening in that respect, but after a while, you know, it was kind of...
It was a gag, yeah.
You know, he sort of learned the game's tricks.
Yeah, it's not something you can pull that many times, really, is it, I suppose?
But at the same time, you know, if you go back and play that game now, it's not really that scary. But I remember at the time being mortified playing it.
What do you think? Is that the right word? It just sounds like you were embarrassed.
Oh, okay, fine.
were you wearing something unfortunate while you were playing Eternal Darkness? Did you have your copy of Joe and Eki lying around after it?
Also coming out this year is... also coming out, and I'm going to use quotes for this year, based on Valve time, is Left 4 Dead, which is actually a merging of her two conflicting ideas of survival horror and the FPS.
Mm-hmm.
This game is a multiplayer co-op survival horror first-person shooter, which has about as many qualifiers on it as any one game should ever be allowed to have. But
go ahead.
Well, in it, you're playing as either people who are running from these zombies, the survivors, or the infected, where you're trying to infect the remaining players. You know, I think just because a game is an FPS doesn't immediately preclude it from being a survival horror.
I think what
survival horror became, it became that god-awful Resident Evil gameplay. And
yeah,
anybody,
like
nobody
the
can
tank
defend,
movement, yeah.
Yeah, nobody can defend that game now, but people still do. But you can't honestly tell me that game had good controls. You can't.
No, but the thing is, well, this is an interesting thing, though, because something like with survival horror games, I suppose the point is that it's not supposed to be fluid. It's meant to be kind of awkward, and it's not about being able to obliterate your foes. It's about being able to just barely escape them. So, I mean, I could see where the kind of apologists are coming from, but yeah, there's an element of it that is just bad.
Yeah,
obviously.
And I don't think...
But you need to find that sort of meat, because like Resident Evil 4 and presumably Resident Evil 5, which is also forthcoming, are not really survival horror games much anymore, because
no,
they're just too action-y. They're all balls to the wall action now. And I guess the question is just how to have better controls than the antiquated tank style, but also do it in such a way that the gameplay is constructed so that you're not just blowing everything away. It's still about tension and evasion and things like that.
Well, see, I think that's where you have to implement, you know, the capabilities of the character you're supposed to be playing at in. Leon suddenly became like the Terminator in that game. I mean, he became like a killing machine dropped in the middle of the Spanish countryside to decrease the surplus population.
You know what Chris, what's his name, Redfield, is it? That's going to be Resident Evil 5. You know what he's got that Leon doesn't?
Tribal armband tattoo?
Pretty much.
Guns?
Yeah, he's got huge guns. Yeah.
That game off of James' list.
Oh.
Wow.
But see, I think the reality of it is you can't have just god-awful gameplay in a game and say, this is supposed to make it survival-y.
Yeah.
You have exactly. to...
I mean, it's got to be effective in what it does. You know, there's, it can kind of create something by accident, but that's not good enough. You know, it's
right.
got to feel purposeful, I think, is the main thing.
The constraints on the player's ability to act have to be implemented in design. They can't be implemented in bad gameplay. And I think
What's
that's...
the difference?
Well, the difference is that bad gameplay is like there's an enemy off screen because of static camera angles that's hacking you in the head, but you can't shoot him because you can't aim because you can't see him.
Oh.
Or you turn so slowly that I'm pretty much convinced that Vanessa was a paraplegic.
It's very much as well. It's a very artificial sort of cop out way to generate tension,
right? Because,
rather than doing it narratively or with the pacing of the gameplay and all that, it's just, well, it's tense because at any moment you could be faced with something the controls can't handle.
Right.
I mean, that's what you want to feel, is something that feels organic, that doesn't take you out of the experience of being immersed in the game. It feels like something that's coming from the game, not from the joypad in your hands. That's
right.
The key.
And or from the game's camera.
That again, these kinds of artificial abstract things that create they may create tension as a side effect, but I think they take you out of the experience so much that in also at the same time kind of diffuses the tension.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, some of the scariest moments I've had playing games, not necessarily even survival horror games, is when, like, I'm low on life, I just beat a really hard part of a game, and now I gotta save, and you can't save anywhere, you gotta go to a save point. And
when
you consider that to be a, well, once you don't have to like conserve your ink, that's going too far.
Yeah.
But but I mean, like Metroid, like you beat a boss and you automatically save, you gotta get back to a save point. And for me, that's like a really scary moment. It's like, I don't want to have to play that again, you know, or I did really well, you know. And would you consider that organic or not? Because it is kind of a artificial constraint in the sense you got to get to a save point. It's not like you're, you know, holy crap, that's a scary whatever tower.
But at least it's, I think at least it's actually within the actual achievement of the game in terms of, you know, you've done something and now in order to preserve that achievement you need to do something else, rather than just, well, it's not really my fault, these controls just might let me down at any minute. That feels a very different kind of thing. But I appreciate what you're saying. It's not, I mean, there's various different ways of doing it. You know, you can do it with the gameplay pacing and the save points and all that. Or you could do it with more of a sort of in-game storytelling kind of approach. Because I think cutscenes are not as immersive.
Take, for example, what some games have done
I think because where the real potential that games have for tension and horror is that you are more immersed in it because you're not just lying back and watching it.
Right.
So if you have a kind of storytelling that's not in cutscenes, but it's actually in gameplay with some, you know, cleverly choreographed sequences and things like that, that I think has rich potential that could really be explored by this generation of consoles.
Well, I know in Doom 3, when that came out,
being dark.
Yeah, but still, that's kind of an effective way to do it, and that's a first-person shooter. So, you know, you can get. I mean, after a while, I'm sure those thrills would wear off, but I mean, you can do it.
But
with,
see,
you know,
that,
with
that, game, that game, in a way, suffered from the same thing that we're talking about here. It was so damn dark that you basically had to get a flashlight mod because it was so dark that it hampered gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good example would be in some of the Resident Evil games, not 4, because 4, they spewed ammo on you like you were walking around the Alabama gun show. where you have to decide, do I try to kill this thing or do I just run the hell away? You know, there's that tension of, am I going to have enough ammunition? Am I going to have enough health? Am I going to have, you know, the supplies I need to continue on? Do I have to face this thing down? Is it in my way in such a way that I have to expend the ammunition? You know, there's that tension of, you have to make these decisions that could alter, essentially, your ability to complete the game. But it's not so much because the game has bad design, it's just because they, you know, your supplies are limited. It's not that really shocking horror moment, but it's enough tension that the littlest thing could set you off.
It's cheap horror,
yeah.
Basically.
It's cheap horror that doesn't come at the expense of gameplay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next email.
I believe this one goes to TYP.
This one goes to TYP. That's right.
I just adjust the mic here. All right. Tell Johnny to more Magic the Gathering eBay auctions. I have my cursor over the commit to buy button. I had my cursor over the commit to buy button last time for his last auction, but I couldn't bring myself to follow through.
Good for you, man.
I'll try to be more vigilant next time. Keep up the good work. Chad Sexington.
The Chad.
Chad Sexington.
Yep. Well, Chad, we'll pass this along to Johnny.
Which we'll have to because yeah. he's not here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure that Johnny right now is off cooking up some new eBay auctions, so
he can promote on the podcast.
Definitely, he can, yeah, promote on the podcast. And so, Sexington, you look out for those eBay auctions, my friend.
Well, he deserves it. I mean, he deserves to win Sexy Man's auction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Okay, the next one. And the last one here. Okay, a real question this time. You have no idea how true that is. After seeing that Boomblox only sold 60,000 copies, which is absurdly low. I don't know where that's coming from. I checked out what the Nintendo fanboys are saying about it. They're saying that it's overpriced. It looks like Jenga for $50.
It is.
And if third parties would just put and if third parties would just put effort into it, the games would sell. Effort into their games. Would you please take a moment to talk about how absurd that argument is when used against Boomblox?
It's
I know
not.
Johnny. I know Johnny has to agree with me on this after listening to him talk at length about Boomblox.
I think we can
say
Johnny would agree with him. Yeah.
If Boomblox can't sell on Wii, what third-party new IP games can? Andy
ones
from
that
Iowa.
Have emphasis put on their presentation.
Yeah, well, you know, I still think actually some of the doom and gloom with Boomblox could be reversed, because if it's going to sell well, it will sell well in a Carnival Games kind of way, which is a slow burn. You know, Carnival Games did not sell the copies that is now infamous for selling by penetrating the top 10 of the NPDs on a regular basis. It did it.
See, I still think there's no way to justify that game at $50. I mean,
I don't know. I'm pretty satisfied with it so far, and obviously Johnny was, and he played it through pretty thoroughly for the purposes of his review, and was very satisfied. And I think the thing about it is that obviously they have really kind of taken the trouble to max out the concepts as much as possible. From what I've seen so far, and from Johnny's review, they have tried to really put a lot of different kinds of applications in there to stretch it out and things. And I just think, if the kind of appeal this is going to have is that if it's going to catch on, if it's going to catch fire, and it may well be at a lower price point when stores bring it down a bit, is going to be to people who aren't necessarily looking for a really deep experience, but it actually is kind of one. I don't think the fact that it hasn't got a lot of depth is really good. It's what's holding it back from selling more. Because the fact of the matter is, however good this game may be, I don't think it was ever going to sell a lot of games to people who consider themselves sort of Nintendo meritocrat supremacists or whatever. And we're just going to buy games that are good because it doesn't really seem to appeal to them that much. A lot of people who have praised it for its universal appeal, and therefore it should be branching out to people who are not concerned with the review scores, even though they're good. And I guess one area where one could criticise their approach is the marketing, kind of a bit lax, didn't really seem to do a lot. It is a game that's a kind of curious concept, so you have to present it quite carefully, and I'm not sure that they've done that.
Yeah.
So if I had to say anything about why it hasn't sold as well as it perhaps should have done, from Andy's point of view anyway, is it isn't because of grumpy Nintendo enthusiasts, because they were never going to be the people that were ever going to do this. And it wasn't anything to do with the quality or the type of the game, as James seemed to be saying. I think it is about the presentation. It's about the marketing.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. It's the kind of game where, I just think that you kind of have to see it to get it.
Mm, yeah, yeah. So, exactly. Well, it's a very tactile game. You have to get hands-on with it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I still think that you're coming to the right point. It is about the presentation. But the game does not present itself as a $50 game. And that's why it would never sell as a $50 game, because you can't play it in advance and it doesn't look like a $50 game.
It's
and you can't tell how it's going to play. Therefore, it should have never been a
$50
game.
That's the thing. It's hard just looking at it. It's hard for me to get to wrap my head around how it could be worth $50. It may very well be.
I think in terms of the sales figures, though, is that really the issue? I don't know whether ultimately, that people like John, who obviously know a lot about games and about graphics, looking at it and think, and you know, in general thinking, is it worth $50? Is it not? I mean, this is supposed to be sold to people who don't make those calculations in that way. That would be made purely on sort of, does it look fun for them and their family?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, but then they look at Carnival games and they say, "Oh, well, this one looks fun too." And isn't Carnival games
cheaper?
It's cheaper. I think that's an issue.
But to be fair, Carnival games has come down in price. So if you wanted to undercut Carnival games, you were going to have to go.
$50.
No, not at all. The development costs were probably commensurately small with that.
But see, still, I don't think that Bloom Blocks was, you know, a $50 million
no,
game.
No, I don't. But what I'm saying is, in terms of the relativity, I'm saying that the Carnival Games was very cheap, and therefore, you know,
that's
the extraordinary part. You know, it's how cheap Carnival Games was, probably.
Well, the thing is with Carnival Games is that you don't have to show me anything or tell me anything for me to know exactly what that game is about.
Yeah, it's got a hook. That's the problem, I think, with Boom Blocks. They clearly struggled to get across the hook of the game. I mean, for a long time, it was just known by the code name of PQRS, I think, or something.
Yeah,
similarly
something
oblique.
Stupid like
and
that.
Then eventually they settled on Boom Blocks and had these little characters and all this sort of stuff, which is all fairly immaterial to the quality of the game. But in terms of the marketing and getting that, because that I feel is a lot of the reason for Carnival Games' success. It has a very accessible theme. People get it before they bought it. Yeah. Whereas with this, I don't think the average consumer is necessarily aware of exactly what this game is driving at with these weird little characters on the front and all that. And I think it does go to the game's development in the sense that perhaps they could have changed how they approach, like, the characters in the game and the story. You know, they could have essentially had the same gameplay but put a different veneer on it that then led to a more natural marketing campaign that people would understand it better and then be more likely to buy it at whatever price.
Well, that was one of the things I said to Johnny. I mean, one of the things I asked him was that, you know, was there a story around it? Was there something? And I guess that was me just kind of trying to get a feel for the game, like where they were coming from with it. Because I know the basic concept of the game, but what are they doing with it? That's what I couldn't really get.
But see, that's what I meant when I originally said it feels like a WiiWare game. Because it feels like a game that is essentially all concept and not so much like about the presentation or the environment, the story. And that's what WiiWare was about, which is why it feels like a WiiWare game, because it's constructed like one, even if it's on a completely different scale.
I agree with you. I mean, I played it, I enjoyed it at a friend's house, and I haven't run out and bought it. I can't justify it at $50. And honestly, the presentation was more distracting than anything while I was playing it.
I think there's a lot of superfluous things there. And that was their attempt to try and make it kind of accessible, but I don't think it was very successful.
No, it doesn't work.
Well, I mean, if you looked at the box, you would think it's a game about a monkey square flying out at your face. I mean, there is nothing discernible about that box that tells you what the hell is going on. And I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It would have been better off showing someone throwing a ball at a big stack of bricks or something.
That sort of more of a play kind of thing.
But I mean, even Carnival Games. Carnival Games looks like its box art was taken from MS Word clip art, but it still gets across the concept of the game.
The hook is there. Whereas I think that was the thing they really struggled with Boom Blocks from the beginning. It seems to me is that they had the concept down from day one, and then it was just a case of getting the physics right and designing the challenges appropriately and all that. And I think from what I've seen, they've done that very well. But how to sell it and how to present it is something they never really know. And that, for me, is... I don't think it's the ambivalence of Nintendo enthusiasts that have caused this. It's primarily those problems in presenting the game to a wider audience.
Market.
So do you think it's odd that EA's having this problem, or do you think it's kind of reflects...
Yeah, well, I mean, it is interesting because they didn't even... They didn't even play up the Spielberg angle that strongly.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate it's difficult to get that much of a sort of deeply embedded link between Steven Spielberg, who's very known for his narrative work, and then, you know, something like this, which is all concept and it's like a, you know, a toy box kind of game. But still, just the name recognition, you would have thought they would have played it up a bit more. And I think that's really where, I don't know to what extent Spielberg was actually complicit in this decision, but the idea of trying to impose some weak narrative elements in it was probably not a good one, if strictly presentational-wise. I mean, for me, playing the game personally, it's largely irrelevant. It doesn't affect the quality of the game. But in terms of making it sell copies, I just think they probably would have been better off pursuing a different way of making it marketable.
I think part of it, and you know, I'm going back to this, but I'm not even sure what they were thinking when they created its marketing strategy, because the best way I could describe the game as it's presented, and even in its commercials, is like explosions at the zoo in a parallel universe where every creature is made out of cubes. I mean, not even the commercial, the few times I saw it, actually made much of an effort to explain the game. It showed some of those trendy hipsters we're used to seeing in Wii commercials flinging their remote, just in my mind just thinking of the first E3 where you could play the Wii and all the TVs that got broken. But I mean, it didn't really explain what the game is or why. It just showed, like, cow blocks walking around, yeah, and then somebody pegging them with a brick, and it didn't make any sense what they were trying to get across. And I think in a game that is so concept driven, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yes, I think it is. I mean, I don't think it was an easy task in terms of, you know, it doesn't have that sort of natural hook like Carnival Games, but they still did not meet it very well, I would say.
No. And I think the natural hook for this game is to drop it down to like $35.
It'll happen, and I think it could still, you know, with word of mouth, sort of, you know, possibly
slow burn.
Be the slow burn. Probably not up to the level of Carnival Games on price.
But
and...
you know, we can't even call Carnival Games a slow burn anymore because it gets on lists, like weekly lists.
And actually, it gets on top tens in Europe every now and again.
And it just pops back up randomly too. It just out of nowhere, bang, Carnival Games. It doesn't make any sense. That game was conceived with a contract with the devil. That is the only thing that makes sense about that game anymore. Its sales will just suddenly spike one month, and it'll just be inconceivable why that happened. I mean, there has got to be a statistician at some major publisher whose job it is just to figure out what the hell is going on with Carnival Games. And he's going to kill himself because he'll never figure it out. They will walk into his office, and he will have either had an aneurysm, and he'll be on the desk, or he'll have found some way to kill himself with his copy of it, because no one will ever figure out what happened with that game. And I don't think we'll ever see another game like that. That game is just so unique in its bizarre sales patterns that I don't think anybody could ever fully explain what happened. And I'm almost certain no one could ever replicate it. I mean, it's sold on the order of some of Nintendo's games.
Carnival Games 2, anybody?
Well, there's Carnival Games DS coming, isn't there?
Already
out or something?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think it would work, though. I think...
It'll sell off the name, though.
What name? It's called Carnival Games. It's not like it's some grand franchise.
Oh, it is now.
It's like Shooting Ship. I mean,
that's what it says
on the
screen.
It is the Shooting Ship of modern games.
Can you trademark Carnival Games? Can you?
Yeah,
probably not, to be honest. I mean, you might be able to trademark...
in that particular font, sure.
No,
but...
I mean, you might... Probably not, no. Because, I mean, Carnival Games is a concept. I mean, there was an old Intellivision game by that name. Carnival Games.
Uh-oh.
But it's not. They're not related.
Lawsuit pending.
Do we even know who published Carnival Games?
Was that EA as well? Or I've forgotten.
I don't think it was EA.
Was it like D3 Publisher or something like that?
Let's ask Google.
Hi, Google.
All right. Hi, Google. All right. I'm getting all these things about
crap.
yeah, but like wholesale. Here we go. Video game, Carnival Games. It was published by... All right, the developer was Cat Daddy Games.
Okay.
Nice.
Yep.
And in the USA, it was published by Global Star Software.
There you go. Wow. Global Star, aren't they like a subsidiary of somebody?
I'll check that in a second. And in EU, it was published by 2K. So I mean,
2K,
that's
who I was thinking of, actually.
Yeah, that's
just in the EU.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Global Star Software is a subsidiary of Take-Two.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's their casual brand.
Wow.
No, it's not. It's their crap brand. list: Airport Tycoon, Airport Tycoon 2, Airport Tycoon 3, American Civil War's Gettysburg, Army Men Major Malfunction, Army Men Sarge's War, Crave, Carnival Games, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Classified, The Sentinel Crisis, Codename Kid Next Door, Operation Video Game, Conflict Vietnam, Corvette, that's the whole title, Deal or No Deal, and Dora the Explorer, Barnyard Buddies. Mm.
Wow, that's my entire shelf right there.
It's a combination of like family-friendly and ultra-patriotic or something. I don't know.
Oh, they also published Outlaw Golf and Outlaw Golf 2.
Really?
I think that's enough.
Wow, okay, never mind.
And with that...
all right, speaking of enough...
I guess they had to change their image at one point.
Oh, wait. I got two more good ones. Okay. Omar Sharif Bridge 2.
No, that's awesome. Omar Sharif.
And John Deere American Farmer.
Nice.
Yes!
I remember that one.
What system is that for,
more
PC?
Than one, there's more than one John Deere game, because there's one called Harvest in the Heartland. So there's more than one.
Who reviewed that? That was a DS game that didn't Zach review it?
Yeah, I think so.
And he gave it a decent score, too.
Yes, he did, yeah.
John Deere American Farmer was a PC game that apparently no one cares about anymore, but you can download it for free.
Nice.
Nice. Wow.
All right. On that note, I think we've come to the end.
did you say who it was from?
What, that last one, Andy from Iowa?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Andy from Iowa.
Of course. All of our fans in
from
Iowa.
From our Iowa contingent.
We love you.
Still haven't got my fruit basket.
All right. So we have come to the end of another Radio Free Nintendo podcast. I think it's just about time we sign off, guys. So for Greg Leahy.
So long.
James Jones.
Bye.
And TYP.
Hey, yeah, no radio trivia this week. Sorry, guys.
Oh. Speaking of which, be sure to listen to our other podcast. We only have one. Radio Trivia.
One other.
And I.
One other, yeah.
We only have one other podcast,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so make sure you
we
check that out.
We have two. Yes. And is it still 35?
35.
What?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's episode 35.
The current episode.
Yeah. I think that's right, yeah.
With me.
Oh, self-promotion. Good God.
Actually, I've probably now just prevented people from downloading it.
It's okay, I'm used to it.
Well, I should warn people, James picked some of the games.
Oh, that's right.
Some of them very near and dear to his heart, not to give too much
And
away.
We talked about, I think, two of the games today.
We may have.
We did.
Ooh. Wow.
Interesting.
That's right.
Go back very and scour the podcast for that.
Yeah. Well, one of them should be really obvious.
Yeah. All right, and I guess that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Later. Hello, everybody. This is Jonathan Lindemann, and here we are at Nintendo World Report with NWR Chat. What number is this? Is this 105? Is
that yeah. Right?
I don't know. I don't normally keep
NWR
track of this
chat.
Stuff. So. NWR Chat. How do you like that? It's the podcast, people. It's the podcast. Radio Free Nintendo.
There we go.
Hey, come on. I'm not the normal host. I'm allowed a few slip-ups here and there. Let's see.
You make it sound like we don't allow the normal host a few slip-ups here and there.
Well, that's the thing. I'm used to Johnny Metz's typical perfection. He's a hard act to follow, but I'll see if I can completely make a fool
Look,
out of myself.
We've already had one
episode
of the correction segment. Do we need another one?
This might be it. I think we're going to have it at the end of this one. All right, here with me, I have the one and only Greg Leahy.
Hello.
James Jones.
Hello.
And TYP. Michael Cole. Where you at?
No, yeah, that was the best start ever.
I think he's getting soup.
Stinger is okay, the stinger sorted. At least we've got that out of the way.
Yeah, I can go ahead and put in like cricket noises behind.
Okay. All right, Michael Cole is apparently getting soup. He just actually stepped in here. He just came in from a traffic jam apparently. So, I don't know. He'll just jump in, I guess. I don't know. Is he on mute? Maybe.
Nah, we'll just start over. I guess.
No,
I mean,
no, yeah. All right. Okay. That was gold. We've got NWR chat. We've got everything there. That's all the good stuff for a stinger.
That is a beautiful stinger.
The aborted intro. Is gonna be good.
That's like the third time in a row we've done that when Johnny wasn't here and just completely screwed up the intro. Last time it was due to me fearing that Carl and Stan were going to jump in at any minute and just throw me off the side of the deck.
So you thought, why not just throw myself?